space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Thank you.
six, five, four, three, two, one, zero. Blast off!
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Yeah, that's right, the world is being scammed. Yeah, you're being ripped off, robbed, looted, pillaged, and all that stuff and such. Ha! Well, you're listening to Mad Science at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html. Also, jump over there and say hi to those folks over there at Wolf Spirit Radio and People for People Radio. If you are on the Super Chat HTML where there's access to not one but four separate chat rooms, you can scroll down up underneath there and click on the link for People for People Radio and go over and tell them the nice folks we said hi. So, You know, I might just get ahead a little bit rowdy today. Who knows? Wouldn't be nothing out of the ordinary, I wouldn't think. But you know how old Shaziz is. I get a little crazy when it comes to mad science. So with that said, I'm going to play a little podcast here. I'm going to play this. Actually, I got two of them I'm going to play. But first one I'm going to play live. I'm going to play them both live. Yeah, it's all live. Anyway, listen to this.
So my main interest is taking technology from the lab literally to the street. This bike is one of the most efficient and versatile motorcycles on the planet.
And one of the most amazing. That's because its 800cc engine gets its kicks from this crazy looking stuff. It's algae, a simple photosynthetic organism that happens to be a biofuel, bulging with horsepower. Nathan Shep from the University of California in San Diego is on a mission to get it into all our fuel tanks.
Its energy density is very close to diesel. It burns actually a lot cleaner. The exhaust coming out the other end is much cleaner. All these things are part of the reason we want to move to a sustainable fuel like algae biodiesel.
You can extract fuel from all kinds of plants, but nothing comes close to algae. It's 30 times more efficient than its nearest rival. It can be nurtured from the tiniest cell in the purest conditions, and then grown and grown and grown.
So they start right here, and this is sort of the lawn of algae, and then what we can do is we'll pick a single colony once these grow up a little, and we'll put them into a 50 ml flask right here. And they grow like this for about, you know, anywhere from 5 to 10 days in here. And then you have to basically scale it up to maybe a 1 or 2 liter culture, and that's enough to take outside, and that's really where we produce the most.
Mostly aquatic, like seaweed, algae grows by capturing sunlight and turning it into sugar, a perfect energy source. But best of all, it grows pretty much anywhere.
We can grow algae biomass using salt water, wastewater from sewage treatment plants or other things. They don't require traditional fertile land like farm space. We can grow it in the desert using salt water and taking CO2 from power plants.
It's this grow-anywhere ability that scientists are getting excited about. The big disadvantage of existing biofuel crops like corn, palm, and soya is that they use up land we need to grow food, and they consume way more resources. But the algae in these ponds is not quite ready to put in your tank yet.
We harvest, we centrifuge the algae, and then we put the algae on the drying table here. And it ends up, as you can see, just pellets like this. And in these pellets are the oil.
Finally, using a heated press, the oil is squeezed out of the pellets.
The end product really is almost identical to what petroleum diesel is. You know, there's no difference in the final product.
And nothing is wasted. All this stuff becomes good animal and fish food, apparently.
All right, that's one. Okay, now I gotta get over here and I gotta click on this one over here. This is really gonna get your goat here. Let's see if I don't.
Many who are planning to boat or swim in America's lakes and rivers this weekend have to check not only the weather forecast, but also the water forecast. Rain, heat, and pollutants are causing an outbreak of toxic algae. Exposure can cause a sore throat, nausea, and other health issues. Lawmakers in Florida want the governor to declare a state of emergency over Lake Okeechobee's toxic algae problem. Manuel Bajorquez is there.
Chris Whitman's been fishing southwest Florida his entire life, but the once postcard perfect summer waters are becoming fouled by slimy and toxic green algae.
It's not looking good for the future. I mean, I've canceled my trips the last few weeks because of this issue, and I'm not on the water as much as I once was.
It's a recurring nightmare, but this year's early bloom could signal one of the worst summers yet. The problem starts here, Lake Okeechobee, the aquatic lifeblood of South Florida. After heavy rains, the Army Corps of Engineers released millions of gallons to relieve pressure on the lake's old earthen dam. But the water is chock full of chemicals and nutrients, much of it runoff from commercial agriculture and sprawling development. When that mix bakes in the summer sun, the algae population explodes. Biologist John Cassani has been collecting samples and warning about the health hazards.
The toxins the cyanobacteria produce are incredibly potent. They affect liver function. There's neurotoxins that they produce. So it's a suite of really toxic stuff that can kill wildlife and really impact people's health.
If you get close enough, you can see this isn't just a film. It is a thick, gooey substance, and once it starts to cover up a waterway like this, it deprives it of oxygen, essentially sucking the life out of it.
Wildlife like manatees can choke to death, but underwater, the entire marine ecosystem is at risk. So too are waterside businesses. Captain Chris Whitman says he's lost $20,000 on canceled trips already this summer.
This is going to take a lot of work and a lot of time to fix it, but it is fixable. These are man-made issues, and man can fix them.
The federal government and the state have approved a $1.6 billion plan to clean and store some of the lake water, but it still has not been funded. Even the private sector is stepping in, offering a $10 million reward to whoever comes up with the best plan to fix the problem here, because the algae has already been spotted in as much as 90% of Lake Okeechobee. Diana?
And they clearly have their work cut out for them. Manuel Bajorquez, thank you.
All right, well, I guess it's time for me to collect the $10 million reward and go into business. What do you think? All right, so, well, this next one here that I'm going to play, I might have just a little bit of fun with, because while it's got some good content in it, it's got some bad content as well. So they kind of added in some propaganda to what would have otherwise been a fairly decent deal there. So let me get rid of that window there and pop this one up. And let's see if we can start this one over fresh.
The world will eventually run out of cheap fossil fuels, but before we run out, we'll
hold on. I gotta get something ready. Alright, I said the world's gonna run out of cheap fossil fuels. Let's try this again.
Probably try to siphon every last drop out of the earth.
Hold on, let's back that up.
The world will eventually run out of cheap fossil fuels. Inefficient to extract the fuel. What happens then? The answer may be found in one of the simplest forms of life on Earth.
Inside Science TV.
This may look like a green mucky mess, but to Steve Mayfield at the University of California, San Diego, this genetically modified superalgae may be our ticket to the production of cost-effective biofuels, fueling everything from cars to jets to diesel trucks.
Biofuels are any fuel that is made from a recently living organism. And why do we say recently living organism? Because petroleum is simply fossil algae and coal is fossil plants. So all fossil fuels are biofuels.
Plants and algae need photosynthesis to convert sunlight and carbon dioxide from the atmosphere into hydrocarbons. Hydrocarbons make excellent fuels for cars and planes.
Algae, because they're a living organism, they make proteins, they make carbohydrates, and then they make lots and lots of fats. Fats are really good fuels.
A well-known biofuel is corn-based ethanol, but algae-based biofuels are much more efficient.
So much more efficient at taking sunlight and CO2 and turning it into a fuel.
Are there any engines that actually run on algae-based biofuel?
Sure.
The answer to that is yes. In fact, every single engine is already running on biofuel.
Anything that runs on gasoline or diesel or jet fuel, those are algae fuels.
What about global warming? The problem with fossil fuels is that they release CO2 into our atmosphere. That CO2 is captured by algae and has been trapped underground ever since.
When we make fuels from algae, we're releasing CO2 into the atmosphere. process is the same. The difference is we captured that CO2 the week before by photosynthesis.
Mayfield is working to solve the technical issues that come with producing biofuels on a much larger scale.
That's what we spend our time doing here, thinking about how we domesticate algae so that it is suitable for biofuel production.
Scientists say that making algae biofuels in bigger quantities will get cheaper over time.
What are we doing now? We're taking algae, growing it in real time, extracting the exact same oils, the exact same lipids that we would find in petroleum. We're extracting those from living algae, and then we convert those to gasoline and jet and diesel. We think we can hit a target number of $80, $85 a barrel.
Algae-based biofuels is one solution that addresses three of the most critical economic forces will drive the wide-scale adoption of biofuels.
We cannot keep 7.5 billion people alive and thriving on this planet if we do not have an energy and food source for them. So this is something that we absolutely have to do.
This is Inside Science.
Inside Science TV. If you enjoyed this edition, follow us on the web and social media.
Yeah, powered right.
By the American Institute of Physics and a coalition of underwriters.
All right, so there was a little bit of propaganda in there with some good stuff, but here's the thing, folks. Hell, you got this deal down near Lake Okeechobee. Is that how that say? Okeechobee? I can't even say it now. Anyway, it's basically you got some farmers that are growing sugar down in the area, and basically the cattle farms and the combination of the farmer using everything from anhydrous ammonia to fertilize the ground, and using cow manure to fertilize it, basically makes the ground really super nutrient rich. And so all that runoff ends up going into the lake and then ends up being flushed out two different directions off of the lake so that the dam doesn't break. Instead of pumping it back into the Everglades where it used to be to begin with, They decided to divert it off into the ocean and then wonder why that they're having these big giant algae blooms. So anyway, this whole thing about fossil fuels and all that kind of ridiculousness and we're going to run out of oil, there is no way we could ever, 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 ever run out of oil, period. So the fossil fuel is going to be in your face forever and a day unless somebody decides to take advantage of the knowledge. See, you can quite literally grow your own fuel at your own home. So, you got guys on YouTube showing how, DIY, how to make biofuel and stuff like that. And it don't even stop there, They use this stuff for fertilizer, and they're even talking about being able to use it for food because it's got a lot of protein and stuff like that in there. So why am I saying the world's being scammed? Because you talk about how much a barrel of oil is and when you bring it in from overseas and all that kind of stuff, and that there's all kinds of different wars going on about oil as well. Then you got the whole climate change debacle, the biggest fraud in the history of frauds. And, it just it never ends. There's always some way for them to make all kinds of money on there. And obviously they wouldn't want biofuel to start to take over where, regular crude oil and, the oil industry is. And I'm not even sure if it's true or not, but I have to look into it. I was listening to a guy on YouTube yesterday saying that the Vatican had second only to the U.S. Bank account. I mean, supposedly up in the $1 trillion range somewhere around about, but one of their major investments was Standard Oil. Now, I don't know. What the heck? I got some cats yelling outside. I don't know whether that's true or not true, but it's worth looking into because it's kind of crazy, man. No matter what you do, you say energy's free and you're going to catch it. That's it. You're going to catch it because nobody wants you to know that energy's free. You know, my pond right now is just covered up with duckweed, and I'm going to turn that stuff into biofuel and fish food flakes and fertilizer. And I'm about to do some videos on it, show people how to do it. But nonetheless, you know, they talk about fossil fuel, and unless this earth quits doing what it is that it's been doing all this time, there's no way you're ever going to run out of what they call fossil fuels. It's not even remotely possible. You know, Stephen made a comment in there earlier, and I want to go back to that comment. Let me see if I can find it. It's up a little bit. Got to scroll up. We kind of had a chat going on, but nonetheless. Oh, there we go. He said, use it as fertilizer. Grow potatoes. Make a steel. Fuel and moonshine to sell, laugh out loud. And I was like, you know, it's funny that you said that about fertilizer to grow yet even more fuel. So this is where the ridiculousness comes in. I've been saying this forever and a day, and I don't understand why people just don't get it. Every single element that was ever on this planet, this place we call Earth, is still to this very day on this planet. And so all the water that's on this planet is still here. All the minerals that's on this planet is still here. Every time we use something, we don't get rid of it, period. Even when you burn firewood, you just make more products. You make fertilizer for more trees to grow. There's like 10 separate products that you can make from wood ash. Not to mention the creosote that builds up in your chimney. That's also a fuel, you know. So in the process of burning the firewood to get heat, you just made more products. You didn't get rid of it, you know. Even in their own physics, say energy can neither be created nor destroyed, so where's it go? You just changed it. You moved it around from one thing to the next, and that's all you did. With this biofuel out there, and even this this doggone mess that's going on up there in Florida with the doggone algae blooms and stuff like that, anybody who had some doggone common sense and understood about biofuel could actually go up there, clean that mess up, and make some money, you know? They said there's a $10 million... deal going on. I'm going to see if I can throw somebody up in here. Yeehaw. Ah. Hi, lady. You want to get rowdy? Ah. Hello.
Surprise me. Hold on.
Ah.
Oh, my goodness.
You want to get rowdy?
I just tuned in and I thought, are you there?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Okay, I just tuned in and I heard you chatting out there by yourself, and so just gave you a smile. How you doing?
Pretty good, I think. Anyway, today I'm talking about the world's being scammed.
The world's being scammed, huh?
Yeah, I was playing out a couple pods, one of which had some propaganda in there, so I had to use the old standby. Here, I'll play it once. Alright, so when propaganda's played, I have to play that there. Anyway, biofuel is basically where you take algae or even duckweed or any, matter of fact, any plant life out there. Everything on this planet could be turned into fuel. And so, you know, they're talking about how, well, one day we're going to all run out of crude oil and they'll have to dig deeper and try to get more crude oil and all this kind of stuff. And so, you know, they're going to save the planet by making biofuel. And I'm just like, This is so ridiculous to me. I mean, if you would have paid attention in science class, you would have understood that every single thing that has ever been on this planet is still on this planet in some form or fashion. It just changed chemistry. We couldn't get rid of it. No matter how hard you try, you know, you even when you think, well, I just burnt all my trash and that trash is gone. No, it ain't. It ain't gone. It's just changed chemistry. That's all. It's turned into other products. And so, with that said, every single molecule that's ever been on this planet, every single piece of chemistry that's ever been on this planet, is still on this planet. And also, the guy was saying, oh, well, with 7 billion people on this planet, we're going to have to figure out a way to feed them and give them energy and all this kind of stuff. And the more I'm hearing this, I can hear my brain, you know, start to, like, spontaneously combust. I feel like it, like, getting ready to catch on fire and explode.
Mm-hmm. I know that feeling. I know that feeling.
And I'm like, wait, ain't nobody ever listened to the Mad Science Show? Didn't they hear what we were talking about? Apparently not. But anyway, out there in Florida, they actually got an environmental disaster occurring right now because they don't understand what the heck is going on. They got like a big old algae bloom that comes around every year. And it's basically caused by, there's a sugar farm down there, and there's also cattle farm down there. Plus, Florida has sandy, the ground is a lot of sand, and so all their septic systems are also leaching into the underground aquifers.
Well, you have those golf courses.
Yeah.
On the all kinds of stuff going on, leaching into wherever. And so my question is, are they saying that algae blooms are part of nature natural?
Well, algae itself is.
It's natural.
Yeah, it's when things are like, basically, I got a farmer that lives next to me, all right,
yeah.
And he uses cow manure for fertilizer, and he uses other types of fertilizer, and he'll even use anhydrous ammonia to put more nitrogen in the soil. Yeah. Little does he know, or maybe he hasn't even contemplated on it at all, is that when he gets his ground really super nutrient rich to grow his food, that those nutrients will come into my pond via the runoff from the rain. And so when that occurs, if there's any, even a speck of algae in that pond, it will begin to grow rapidly because it has tons and tons of nutrients. It's like giving the fat kid a truckload of cookies. You know, what do you expect is going to happen?
Now? Okay. Yeah, so, okay, so, yeah, this is becoming a common thing, you know, because we have so many pesticides and pollutants and all kinds of things running into the water systems, and all over really is happening. And I don't know where it was recently, and it doesn't matter which country it was, but some river was running red.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
I don't know where it was, but it was pretty scary. Nobody knows what it was. Nobody, no authority stepped up to the plate. Everybody just screaming about the Red River.
Yeah, they call it the Red Tide, but that's another form of algae. And
the Red Tide, yeah.
Once again, once you understand the concept of how it occurs, then you can actually fight against it ever occurring again.
Now listen to me, Chad. Is you're not the only mad scientist in the world. All those other scientists are doing really creepy things. They're pretty insane, but they know all this stuff too. They know how to solve problems.
Then what's stopping them from stopping?
Well, that's the scam, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's the scam right there in your face. Because you know, it's like, yeah, you're over there in your little, you know, garage out there, and you're calling yourself a mad scientist, but I don't know why, but I think the real mad scientists are doing the scamming, and they're the ones that are insane, and they do have answers.
I'm a mad scientist because I'm mad. I'm not mad, mad as I'm crazy, mad.
All these years I've been thinking you're just calling yourself. Oh, now I get it.
I'm
half
mad.
You should say, I'm a mad scientist, not like a mad.
I got to figure out a way to make
you got to shake.
Yeah. angry scientist.
I'm an angry scientist.
Well,
yeah, because the mad scientist, I have the picture in my mind of some crazy wackadoodle there in some strange building with all these things going on and whatever creepy things happening, and that, to me, that's the mad scientist. So, okay, an angry scientist, I don't know, it's like, how about a disgruntled?
Yeah, disgruntled, I guess that'll work.
The disgruntled scientist.
Less than pleased.
Well, that's kind of sweet, you know, but that less than pleased scientist, that's a whole other experience. But the disgruntled scientist.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, all these years I've been talking about mad science because it really makes me mad. I paid attention in science class. I know what the gig is, and then I sit around and watch all this kind of stuff, like these giant algae blooms killing off the fish, and I'm like, all right, you folks they can't be this stupid. And they got to know what I know, just like you said a minute ago.
They do know, and that's the scam right there in your face. It's like the world is being scammed because these people know. They know more than we realize they know on all levels, you know. I mean, every part of our life, they are scamming us. It's not just about the blooms, the whatever you're calling them.
The algae blooms.
Algae blooms, the red things, the red tides, the death of the mollusks, the fish die-offs, the birds falling from the sky, what else is happening in this world that's kind of like make you real mad, makes me really angry, you know, and they don't, oh no, nobody knows what it is. They do know what it is.
Of course they do, and it ceases to be a conspiracy theory when the birds do fall from the sky. You know, they was trying to say it was fireworks. All right.
Oh, they tried to get away with that one.
Yeah. No.
And then there were some people that said, "Oh, but wait a minute! Don't you remember those photographs? This happened 2012. This was a signature moment in the world, 2012, because everybody was saying the world's going to end. The Mayans say the world's going to end. No. It was not the ending of the world. It was an ending of an era and a movement into a different system. But don't you remember those birds falling from those pictures? And they're coming along, people in hazmat suits.
Yeah.
Now, wait a second. I thought it was just the fireworks. What are you wearing a hazmat suit for? Take that suit off.
Well,
go ahead. Like these people who have watered their fracking. And they're that strange color water coming out of their faucet, and they take it to an authority and say, "Here, you drink the water."
Well, some people light matches on there and catching theirs on fire, you know, coming straight out.
I know.
But
what does that tell you?
Firework thing. I knew that was a hockahooey when I first heard it, because if you grew up in my neighborhood around 4th of July, it wasn't safe to go anywhere. And there weren't birds flying out of the sky. There were bottle rockets flying every direction and all kinds of firecrackers, but other than that...
Well, that was like... So here you go. Let's say the plan. The mad scientists in the background have a plan. They want to test something. So let's test some whatever... What is it? An electromagnetic wave, a pulse wave, a wave that'll drive people insane. Let's test it on New Year's Eve because people will be blowing up those stupid rockets, and then we could tell them if anything does occur. We could tell them, oh, it was just the fireworks.
Yeah.
You know, meanwhile, thousands of birds, not even in an area where there were fireworks, and then people show up in hazmat suits, and I'm saying, oh no, they tell us it's just... And people go back inside, back to their TV. Oh, okay, it was only fireworks.
Yeah.
No big deal.
So then you got all the environmentalists on an uprage want to ban fireworks.
Well, you know something? I was talking the other day. I was when we were on with I don't even know when it was. My gosh, the day. Oh, Thursday with Luca. Patty and I were on with Luca. And I'm so had enough of people screaming at each other. I'm so filled up to the top and the brim of people, because I've been recently having some conversations with some people, specifically one of my own relatives, happens to be one of my sons, who is just, I don't know, he's spewing out verbatim what the mainstream media is talking about. I mean, he might as well be a you know, one of those broadcasters on CNN himself, because he knows every word verbatim of what these people are spewing out. Because it's a whatever, an authority on CNN, it must be true. And verbatim, though, and one of the things he was expressing verbatim, his frustration and his anger toward the commander-in-chief of this country, who is basically setting up whatever, blah, 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 whatever CNN says that he's doing. But the thing that got me was the quote of the percentage of lies that Donald Trump says every day. And I'm like, every day he says a percentage. If they have a percentage, they actually have a number. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a second. And I'm my son is emailing me this, and other people on Facebook put up this thing too. Donald Trump lies a blah blah blankety blankety blank percentage of lies every day. And I'm thinking, and I'm reading this across the board of different people quoting verbatim what the mainstream, well, the media, not mainstream anymore, what the media is telling them about. And I'm sick and tired of it, you know. And I was just saying, wait a second, all these people are quoting verbatim this nightmare stuff, or terrorizing stuff, or terrifying stuff, or one-sided stuff, whatever you want to call it. When we are dealing with such issues, do they care that we're in a sixth extinction? Do they care that there is a very big percentage of, you know, tidal bloom or red whatever this, or birds falling out of the sky, or you can't drink the water, or the kids are having lead poisoning in, you know, in Flint, Michigan and other places? And are they quoting these percentages, the people? No. They're quoting a percentage of Donald Trump's lies.
And that's in the whole entire thing with the mainstream media. Well, they'll come on here and tell you all kinds of crazy stuff about global warming and climate change and all these natural disasters. But they don't ever come out there and say, hey, but, you know, we could actually monopolize on this and actually clean it up at the same exact time and become energy independent from other nations, which therefore we wouldn't even have to go to war anymore.
Well, listen, every once in a while in the back page of the news or a small print, you'll see a disaster, you know, whatever, a natural, whatever they call it, something unnatural or natural, whatever it is happening in the world, with the environment, with humanity, with, you know, and it'll be some small little blurb somewhere. But people, my point is that the madness or the scam, the people are being scammed. The world is being scammed, and they don't even know it. They're quoting verbatim the scammers, what the scammers are saying.
Yep.
And they're pushing it out on everybody. And there are these solutions. You'll never find the solutions given us by the authorities or by those mad, insane scientists, those people, or the media. You won't. You will not. But it's up to the people. That's what I'm saying. These people that are quoting verbatim these idiotic issues that they think are important are not important. I said, I don't care how many times Donald Trump lies. What I care about is his policies on the environment are going down the tubes.
Yep.
That's what I care about. But nobody cares about that. They're all in an uproar because Trump is inciting people, whereas blah, 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 Maxine Waters isn't inciting people. Everybody just forgot about that. But Donald Trump is the one. I'm just saying.
I'm with you.
And I'm not a Donald Trump supporter. You know that.
Yeah.
You know that, but listen, we have to come to the reality here and the truth of how people are being led away from the real issues. You know, yeah. And the real issue is life and death, folks. It's not, lies are not going to kill us. Well, lies, percentage of lies, it's these things that we're talking about, the water, the air, the food, everything that is being affected and polluted and pesticides and ruined and destroyed. These are the real issues. You know, it's not going to matter who the president is if we can't breathe the air.
That's right. Massive and toxic algae blooms threaten Florida coast. And look.
And everybody's doing what? And what are they doing about it?
Well, they're talking to their governors and stuff like that. And
oh, the authorities.
Yeah, and they're trying to get funding to rearrange
stuff. Oh, let's get more funding.
Meanwhile, the fish are dying.
One of those mad scientists, they're stepping up to the plate. Give me some money, and I'll do research on this. Oh, it'll only take me 20 years.
I guess the private industry has stepped up and said they got a $10 million reward out for somebody with solutions. And so I guess I'm going to have to go to Florida and see if I can talk to these jive turkeys and say, look, man, one man's trash is another man's treasure. You could turn this into gold. You know?
Yeah.
And when you look up at the doggone algae and harvesting algaes, there's different types of algaes, and all of which are like really super high in protein and other things like that. So and the algae itself not only becomes biofuel, but it also becomes fertilizer and fish food and animal food. So it's ridiculous that something that you could actually get control of before you ever even dumped it in the deal. See, they're dumping really highly nutrient-rich and chemical-laden water into the waterways and wondering why it is that all this algae is taking over. For the same reason that duckweed takes over a pond is the same reason why algae will take over in the doggone water. And if it's toxic algae, it's a good possibility it probably absorbed things that weren't, like, you know, good for you, like pesticides or whatever like that. You know, it blows my mind.
Apparently this is nothing new.
No.
Now, this is once again,
it's exploding. It's an ongoing deal in Florida.
Yeah, so now this is interesting. It's Lake Okeechobee. Okeechobee. Now, that's one of the Indian people's words for this lake, which was pure, sweet, probably drinkable in those days. Now, they're calling it Florida's liquid heart. So it's the heart of the waters, right?
Yeah.
Well, I got some music coming on here. I'm looking at this site. So it's once again exploding with a massive algae bloom. It's a deepening crisis that threatens to slime both coasts and what has become a recurring summer nightmare. So there's a recurring issue. So who in the past had a grant to fix that problem and now it's recurring? I guess they didn't do it, did they?
Here's part of the issue is that there's a big giant sugar deal down there. And of course sugar is part of the reason why it's all gone. Stuff is growing like wildfire.
Sugar is one of the reasons why many people are sick.
Yeah, but they were supposedly trying to get a grant to buy up several thousand acres of the Everglades down there so that they could pump some of that water back down there instead of, because they diverted the water to begin with.
Well, there's this issue here. This is what they're concerned about, all right? This will have a wide-ranging implication from politics to business. Not about health.
Yeah.
No politics. And they're blaming Governor Rick Scott, who consistently cut funding to the state's environmental regulators. Well, what are these environmental regulators doing anyway? Nothing.
Apparently not. Because if they got it all the way out to the doggone ocean and down, you can go through there, you see all kinds of pictures where, like, all the boat docks have green water underneath them, you know. And it's thick green, too, because the stuff's growing like wildfire. Well, if you track the cause all the way back to the farming industry out there and the cattle industry out there and the septic tanks, because Florida has a sandy ground, and so when you live in Florida, you pretty much live on a pile of sand. But when you put your septic tank down in the ground, well, that all that nutrients and stuff leaches down into the to the waterways and stuff like that, which also helps to amplify the situation. And since the population of Florida is getting pretty good size, it's growing by leaps and bounds, well, you're just adding to the deal. So when they got all this issue going on, you would think that they would say, okay, well, we understand why this algae is happening. Now, how can we fix this and even possibly make some doggone money off of it? If you took this and you made an industry out of it that would quite literally go in there and harvest all that algae, turn it into natural fertilizers as opposed to the way that they've been doing it and all that. Of course, cow manure is natural fertilizers, but they got other stuff out there as well. So you turn that into all kinds of different products, biofuels and stuff like that, and you divert it so it never even gets a chance to get down in the water. And you can actually clean that water up before you ever even let it loose to begin with. But when they get a heavy rainfall, they're already dumping it down, highly nutrient-rich water and chemically.
Well, they are identifying the nutrient thing here. But the way they deal with stuff, it's like you have the basically the scientists. The scientists have one perspective, and you have the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, who are always messing with rivers and water courses. They are supposed to maintain the lake's dike and control water levels. They try to keep lake levels higher during the dry season and lower during the summer rainy season to protect aquatic life in the lake, but also to relieve pressure on its aging earthen dike. So the Corps is in a mix of $1.6 billion repair job to shore up the dike and has completed repairs on some stretches. Remove the darn dike anyway already. Get rid of the dike. Let nature be nature. What are you messing with things for? This is the scam of the century. These dikes, these dams, changing the course of the river because they want it one way and the river wants it another way. Mother wants it one way. You cannot control this stuff. They are doing their best to control it, and you know what? They're never going to be able to control it. They tell the people this is better for the people, and $1.6 billion to repair this whatever dike, I don't know. That's the scam to me. Because guess what? You had heavy rain. Heavy rain. Part of nature. You can't control that. Mm-hmm. And then nutrient-laced waters to the coast were inescapable. Yeah, that's what happens.
But if you understand that you're going to be fertilizing your ground to super nutrient rich to grow a good crop, then you need to be able to put something around there like a moat where any runoff would be diverted into a plant that would treat that water before it ever even got released back into the system again. You see what I mean?
I do.
Naturally treat it. Not, because if these farmers wanted to, because they got levees and stuff that they can guide the water wherever they want it to go. If they truly wanted to, they could literally dig a moat all the way around the entire deal, turn around and filter that down into ponds that would actually intentionally grow algaes and duckweed and watermill, and then they could turn around and refine that into fuel and run their doggone tractors off of it. And biofuel is supposedly cleaner to burn than what they classify as fossil fuels, which is a big hockahooey to begin with, but nonetheless, we won't go there right at the moment. But either way, you got something that is all natural that you turn into a fuel source, and you can actually turn into more fertilizer, so you can fertilize the ground with what would have otherwise been a natural disaster sent down the road to somebody else. That's the deal. And it wouldn't take that much of their land to actually do that. You figure a little, maybe 3 or 4 foot wide, maybe not even a foot deep moat around this entire deal to guide it into a specified area where they're going to you know, let nature do what nature does. Nature's cleaning it up. That's what the algae's doing. It's cleaning it up. But in the process, it's growing so rapidly, it's throwing nature out of balance. That's the problem right there. What do you think?
Well, I think that it's all a big scam.
Yeah.
I think that there are these, the thing I'm reading here is laughable because they got themselves in a big mess. You know, they started to, again, started in the 1940s that the federal government launched its Central and South Florida project to drain the region, build a water supply and flood control system, and enclose the lake with a massive dike. So you've got this right off the bat. They're messing with the natural nature, the way nature was set up to clean itself, to function, to purify everything, and you have these, you know, governments coming in with their project to do this and that, and then it's going to be the best for everybody, but it's not. So you have the lake filling up with nutrients, mostly from farm and ranch runoff, as you have said. But now the polluted inflow includes a mix of urban stormwater and pollution from leaky septic tanks.
Yep.
So you've got, this is a decade-old thing that they've wrestled with how to clean the water. You know, billions of dollars they've installed filter marshes, they've ordered farmers and ranchers to comply with rules to restrict runoff. That's not happening. Regulators set the limit for the amount of phosphorus coming into the lake, but the amount is regularly far more than the lake can handle. And with such a large bloom, not much can be done, they say, well, but to wait and watch. And there's the scam.
Even if they didn't fix the beginning problem, there are systems out there right now because necessity is the mother of invention. There's a guy that actually built a pumping system where he pumps all the algae off of his lake and then pumps it right up on the ground and lets it dry out. Then whenever it dries out, he rolls it up like carpet and makes logs out of it that can be used for fertilizer or even, you know, like firewood kind of stuff. And so you could build systems around there that would constantly pull this algae right up out of that water. You know?
Well, they know this. You see, they know this. This is what I'm saying. These authorities who are running everything into the ground know this. You know, but they have a plan here. Here's another plan. There's another plan, okay?
Yeah, and they're gonna.
Well, they got another plan, you know. The environmental protection, which is a big joke, you know. They have a new plan. It's gonna take 7 years. And it's gonna, frustrated residents say it's time to come up with a different strategy for the lake. While a massive reservoir to hold more water was approved last year and is on its way to congressional approval, the South Florida Water Management District expects construction to take at least 7 years. Now here's some bright person who said, we don't understand how the Army Corps in good conscience can open the gates with that kind of algae. So they're gonna release the algae into a new reservoir. Yes, I don't know, you see. Well, these don't have good conscience.
Well, you know what? There are things that's been used for years that people have in their houses, the little fish tank, they have activated carbon filters in there, and so if you don't clean that filter, the algae will build up in your fish tank, and your fish tank will turn green just like that right there.
Right.
So there is no reason whatsoever why they couldn't take some technology that's been around for God knows how many years and basically build treatment centers all the way along the shoreline, anywhere where there's a potential that this algae could start building up, and it would safely filter the water and then be able to pull that algae up out of there and use it for other uses. fertilizer or whatever, you know, natural fertilizers, or they're even calling algae superfood supplements because of all the nutrients and stuff that's inside that stuff. So, where there's a will, there's a way, and even the average Joe out there, if you lived in an area and that, like that one guy, he lived on a lake, and what did he do? When the algae started coming in, he just turned his pump on, he pumped it up on the shore, and he made a business out of it. He peeled the stuff up, and there
right.
you go, man. I mean, it was free. It would have took over the pond or the lake if he hadn't done anything. But if you watch how he was doing this, I mean, he was pulling it up. I mean, it would suck the algae right to the doggone pump, run it down through there, and then shoot it up on the shoreline. Ain't no reason why they couldn't do that as a, you know, just to get the thing started until they address the initial cause, which is how the farmers and cattle people are allowing the runoff to make it down there to begin with. So, if they get that nipped in the bud right from the get-go, they wouldn't even have this issue. But the more nutrients gets down inside there, obviously, the faster this stuff's going to grow. That duckweed and watermill on these ponds will grow. It'll double itself every 24 to 48 hours. So if you got a little handful, the next day it'll be two handfuls and so on down the line. And those two handfuls will be another two handfuls. So now you're up to four handfuls, and then you're up to eight handfuls the day after that. And it just exponentially grows, you know, rapidly. Until it clogs up the whole pond, breaks down the ecosystem, and even after all that occurs, and all the fish are gone up in there, that watermill and duckweed, or the duckweed specifically, it filters that pond. And if you sweep away that duckweed and look at that water, you can see clear to the bottom of that pond. It's crazy. And so nature knows what nature's doing, but if you're going to pollute it faster than nature can clean it up, you're going to be looking at green ponds. And that's what's going on here.
Well, we have a pond here, and there's lots of ponds in this area, and they do get that duckweed, whatever, happening there. And some of the ponds are like completely covered with green and certain times of the year. And then, you know, in the spring, it doesn't exist. I think it's just the nature of...
What that stuff does is in the wintertime, when the temperature gets cold, it actually sinks to the bottom.
Yeah.
And then during the springtime, when it starts to warm up really good, it'll pop back up to the top again. And
right.
Start growing again. So if you knew that schedule, that would
yeah.
give you a time whenever you could go harvest it, you know, get it right off the pond and... Leave a little bit in there for the fish to eat and keep some perch in there and bluegill and stuff like that, and they'll keep all that down the rest of the season.
So yeah. I'm saying this is nature. It's nature's way, you know. It takes
yeah.
care of itself. But when you put dikes up, dams up, and shift and you know, work with changing the course of flow and water and put dams up and all this other stuff, you're messing with nature.
Yep.
We have a whole river here. It's called the Wallkill River. It's the only river in, I guess you'd say, in this country that flows north. It's an interesting kind of a thing. And this river was once a beautiful, flowing, healthy, alive river. And they put up some dam, whatever, for an electrical thing. And next thing you know, the river's dead. Pretty much it's dead. The whole river.
Yeah. Well, like I said, now we know all the science of what causes it. And we know multiple different ways of how to extract it from the water. You know how to turn it into biofuel, fuel and food.
You know, for your gardens and all that stuff, right?
Yep. And there are all kinds of people out there being pretty creative about, you know, how to harvest this, how to dry it out, how to use it for different products and stuff like that. And this is why it just drives me insane, because the mainstream industries and even the doggone... I blame the news for 90% of all this, because... if they're out there doing investigative reporting and they find out that there's an issue going on, and then they can't, in the middle of their investigative reporting, find out that there's people out there that have solutions to the same problem they keep complaining about, it's almost as if they just want the drama for ratings, or, you know, they just don't care. So the question is, who stands to gain from allowing it to get out of control? You see what I mean?
Well, you know, it's all, to me, it's all a circus. We live in a big stage here. It's a big circus. The whole everything.
Yeah.
It's the circus is run by the authorities. And I think you could probably look at every aspect of our lives and you could see manipulations, lies, and corruptness and controlling factors for the just that would be only for the elite or those at the top of the pyramid. No, you know, and so I feel like everything about our lives is a big circus.
Well, I said,
you know,
something earlier that I heard on a YouTube video, and keep in mind, I just take everything with a grain of salt, but they said that the Vatican had second only to the U.S. Bank account. And I'm like, what? Then they said that one of their biggest investors was like Standard Oil. I'm like, hold on a second here. Church is filthy, stinking rich, and they're in bed with the oil company? Really? and electric companies as well. So if the church is fighting against the people trying to get some free electricity, that would explain why every time we get on shows like this, we get hassled or trolls roll up out of the woodwork saying, oh, that won't work or whatever. Look, they're turning algae into biofuel, fertilizer, fish food. You can take water and you can separate the water and you can make hydrogen and oxygen and get the hydrogen and oxygen out of it. One's an explosive gas and the other one's an implosive gas, which is fuel. So everything we're talking about is people fuel, machinery fuel, natural fuels, and yet here we are talking about how Florida is complaining because they can't go swimming because there's green muck everywhere.
Well, talking about the Vatican, I've always said that the Vatican is one of the biggest corporations in the world, and now they're actually writing that kind of stuff. It says the Catholic Church is the spiritual home to 1.1 billion people around the world. It's also a big business that handles billions of dollars, and here's some information for you. It's how they make their money and how it spends it. So the Vatican Bank has $8 billion in assets.
They said they had gold. They had tons of gold. I'm like,
The Vatican had over $1.1 billion off its balance sheet.
I thought the goal was to fix the world, not to mess it up, man. And if you're... if you're invested into the doggone fuel industry and electric companies and all that kind of stuff, well, it's obvious you don't want to go against your own investment. Now, would the church be that doggone corrupt to allow natural disasters to go?
No.
Well, I said natural disasters, but I meant man-made disasters, because that's what it is. I mean, my pond is a man-made disaster.
What is?
My pond. It's like just completely covered with duckweed.
I think this whole global warming is a man-made disaster. There is no such thing.
Yeah, well, it's man-made to the extent where it's a disaster to your wallet. It's a disaster to peace and in the Middle East and all this other craziness. Man.
Well, let me back up here. Okay, man-made. Okay, there are man-made issues here. There's issues that humanity has affected the nature, like we were talking about before, with the water. Okay, you have clear-cutting of forests. You have oil spills all over the planet. You know, you have, our food being GMO'd up the kazoo. You have, you know, chemtrails, you know, poisoning us. Fluoride. You go on and on. All these things. How much can we as humans or the planet take? But as far as the global warming issue, I mean, that's a big scam. There's another scam for you.
Yeah.
but you have these people in these positions. Okay, you have basically 1.1 billion people, okay, believing in this church filled with pedophiles. Okay, that's not, I'm not making that up. Then you have the Vatican, basically, they rent out their Sistine Chapel for rent. They rent it, the Sistine Chapel. Did you know that?
Oh, no, I had no idea. I was just surprised that I understood that it's big, but I didn't know that they were, you know, basically in bed with
They're making money. It's money, how they make their money and how they spend their money. So how does it, and also, it costs how much to become a saint?
I don't know.
You know, so it's not cheap to get a priest canonized.
Well, they also get money from their each of their people or whatever. But that's not the big issue. The big issue is you got all these people that even the government who have access to trillions and trillions of dollars, which would give them access to the most brilliant minds on the planet, and so you'd have access to every single science guy that could tell you the same simple science that I'm telling you. These guys and gals are out there making biofuel out of algae, and yet you got this algae problem, and you don't understand that whenever you dump all that crud and it rains, that it's going to wash down the deal, and you can't figure out a way to put some sort of filtration system in between the farmer's field and your waterway. You know how ridiculous that is? I mean, the farmer could make a heck of a lot of money and save a lot of money just by utilizing that runoff and cleaning it up before it ever even gets out. See, here's the thing. In my neighborhood, you got to have a specific type of septic system. It has two tanks with it. And so the first tank is where all the solid waste goes. The second tank is where, you know, by the time it gets out of that, it's called like gray water or something like that. And then by the time it gets from the second tank into the potty pond, it's supposedly classified by the EPA as now fresh water. So if the average Joe has to have a system like that, why isn't the farmer having a system like that for his entire farm? If he's going to be using anhydrous ammonia and cow manure and all these things to make the ground really nutrient rich, you know that when it rains, that's going to wash downstream, so it's a given. It's going to happen. And when you got that much water that is all nutrient rich and chemical laden going into this lake, Okeechobee or whatever the heck they call it, well, put two and two together, you know, high nutrients equals algae, more algae equals, you know, a mess downstream, and then whenever it gets really heavy rain, they dump it over the sides and send it off in two separate directions in Florida. Did you see the map? It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, it just comes to my mind about the farming and the golf courses and the pesticide spraying and the cow manures and all kinds of pig manures and all kinds of stuff. Where's all that stuff going? You have this enormous amount, high percentages of this, you know, going on around water courses, aquifers, all kinds of things being affected. You know, and the so-called authorities are giving the farmers, you know, limitations according to what the environmental EPA says is allowed, and that's even questionable. You know, how can you tell people, well, there's a certain amount of poisons that will, you know, cause your, you know, liver to, you know, whatever, and we're allowing this certain amount in the environment. I mean, how can you make a decision like that? This is a poison. This is a carcinogen. You know, this is going to cause troubles, problems, but we'll only allow a certain a percentage of that. The EPA makes that decision, that determination. You know, I mean, we have the Mahikanituck here, the river that flows both ways called the Hudson River. a magnificent river was so damaged and nearly dead. I'm talking about a river beyond your imagining, by PCBs put in the waters by General Electric for you know 50-60 years. And they're trying to clean up this PCB situation, but here's what they tell you. People live off of this river. People fish this river for I don't even know how long, right? You know, the Indians lived off the river. Then you have the white settlers, or they're all living off the river. Now today you have people fishing. It's like a lot of poor people in the community. They go to that river to get food. And they're told, you know, the EPA comes out with their, you know, whatever, they're, you know, what I guess you want to call it, the do's and don'ts and the whatever's acceptable. And they say, if you're a pregnant woman, do not eat the fish from the Hudson River. But everybody else could eat the fish from the Hudson River. Well, I'm not pregnant, but I'm sure not going to eat the fish from that river.
Yeah, you're telling a pregnant lady not to eat it. I don't want none either.
I mean, what are they telling us? And people go, oh, okay. You know, I'm 50 years old. I'm fishing on this river forever, so I guess it's okay. I'm not pregnant.
Well, we're in the year 2018. The doggone industries out there should be a little bit more wiser than they were before. You know, we know about environmental stuff, and it wouldn't be that much of a big deal to modify it. And instead of you know, waste products, everything that doggone factory generated could be utilized for something else. That's the whole thing. Instead of dumping it down the river, you know, like way back whenever they very first started making kerosene, the byproduct of making that kerosene for lanterns and stuff like that was gasoline. They used to dump it down the deal because it was too volatile. They couldn't use it until the internal combustion engine came along. So until somebody figured out a use for it, it was just waste. And their idea to get rid of it was just dump it down the creek or whatever, you know, dump it over the ravine. It's
well, they did everything like that. Everything, every waste product. I mean, here along in this area, and pretty much every area, all communities along any waterway just dump their sewage into the water.
Yeah.
Just that's where it went.
And then they wondered why a lot of people started dying from E. coli and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, there's a beach here in a small town called Socrates. Just saw a notice the other day. The beach there, which is a public beach. Now, this is a movable water area. It's not a lake. It's not a pond. It's a movable water area that runs through the village and over a waterfall and out to the river. Now, they're telling people you can't swim there now at this beach because there's E. coli.
What a mess.
How does something like that happen?
Well, once again, same thing. Throw nature off balance. You get too much nutrient rich in there and things can grow rapidly. That's the simple of it. You know, what I said about the farmer, how the farmer is, you know, he's not intentionally trying to do it, but maybe he just doesn't know that that process is what actually causes that. But the more you see around farming communities, the more of these doggone ponds and lakes that are going, you know, green on everybody. Going green, that's kind of funny, ain't it?
Yeah.
But anyway, they're going turning green. And the fish are dying off in there. There's a whole, you know, giant population of wildlife that ain't there anymore. And all the birds, all the birds that rely on, or even the animals that rely on that fish right there, they're going to have to find someplace else to get some food, you know? So.
Well, that's, I'm going to say that it's become pretty normal, and I'm putting quotes behind around the normal, for people to, you know, to speak about a creek or a little river that once was filled with life that is no longer that way.
Yep. Well, what's it going to take, man? I know I'm not the smartest man in the world, but why in the heck can't I get somebody with some sort of power or influence to at least hear what I got to say about this kind of deal? Because every single problem that we've talked about here today has a resolution. Every single week.
You gotta write. You have to write to the president. My daughter just wrote a letter 2 weeks ago to the President Trump. We have goats here, and you can't sell goat milk. It's against the law, right? But people have been coming here under the wire because they heard we have goat's milk, and some of the children, they can't drink the regular cow's milk, which is a whole other issue, and they want this goat milk. So my daughter wrote to President Trump about this is a problem for people, you know, because goat milk is really healthy and important, and, you know, the way we keep our goats are very clean, and we do this in a good way, in the right way, and so on. And she's saying this is a problem, and there's laws that people can't sell this milk, which is nutrient, filled with nutrients, and some people need it. And she got a reply
Well, I'm going to have to write a physical letter, because I tried sending an email, and that didn't work.
No, you have to write a physical. Well, I don't know. I think she did a text to, I don't know how she did. I'll have to ask her whether she did it to Twitter or whatever, to Trump's Twitter. I don't know.
I'm going to have to look.
But it was not a form letter that she got. It was not like a standard form letter. Yes, we received your blah, blah, blah. You know, it wasn't a form letter.
Yeah.
It actually identified what she was talking about.
Well, see,
so I don't know.
Maybe I gotta try to have your kid write me a letter. Say, look, this is guy who's got some really good ideas. Maybe you ought to listen.
Well, I mean, yeah, like I'm saying to you, we are talking about scam, and we are being scammed. The whole world is being scammed, and the people have to themselves wake up to the fact that this is happening on all levels of regarding our life, our health, our well-being, even our spiritual well-being. And we have to, the people themselves have to come to realize that who they had once trusted or believed in are really not working for them. They are, you know, this is all about themselves, all about the higher ups. The people are beyond wealthy. They don't really care about us people. They don't. And that's a hard thing to accept when you believe in your government and you think, well, we're the best government because the others are a bunch of commies and they're hurting their people. Like, we're not hurting our people.
I'm going to read this. It's been a long time since I read it, so I don't even remember what I said in it. It said, Dear Mr. President Trump, while I'm not a believer in man-made climate change, I do understand that the world needs clean, renewable energy. I feel that with the right team willing to work together, I can help make this a reality. Sir, we have every single piece of the puzzle and the science to make it happen. I also know that there may be concerns about economical ramifications as far as oil and electric power companies, but I also believe that there is a way for even those industries to benefit and thrive while making advancements into the future. The automobile industry would do very well as well. The thing is, the average Joe is at the mercy of all these industries financially. There is a need around the world that can be met that would allow for higher standards of living for everyone. We have an opportunity at our fingertips, unlike anything in the history of time. We have access to the vast sum of all man's knowledge and the brilliant minds worldwide, willing to come to the table and show you what they can do. There is, at this time, much untapped talent and potential available, and would be truly a shame to let this pass by. I know that you are very busy trying to make things happen and that your time is very valuable. With that said, you have men and women who are not wealthy but very brilliant with many talents and gifts, working very hard and sharing information in alternative energy research down here on the grassroots level worldwide. We will meet the need that the world has asked for, and we will be able to do it in perfect harmony with nature. If you ever find a bit of time to sit down and breathe, I am only a phone call away. It would be an honor to speak with you about this subject. I hope this message finds its way to your desk and that you and your family are doing very well. Please send my love to them and all those working hard with you to make this nation and the world a better place. Thank you, Mr. President, for your service, and special thanks to all those who keep you and your family safe in troubled times. My only wish is that the world could hear my words. We have a true hope and every answer to solve all the world's problems if only we can come to the table together and share the gifts that I believe our Creator has given us. We the people are truly blessed if we choose to make this dream come true. I believe this with all that I am. We can fix this world starting right here at home, and the light we shine will guide the way for those to see. Thank you again for everything, Mr. President. Sincerely, with love, God bless America and God bless the world. And I don't think it ever made to him. I posted it out there, and I'll actually post the link again. You know, I don't know what it's going to take to get that message all the way to the top. I don't know what it would take to get that message in his hands. But, you know, it seems like sometimes things go viral, right? And so if there was a way that I could get everybody and his brother to send this link in email form out to the world and have them read that, and he takes notice and reads it himself, maybe we could get somebody that actually had a voice, you know, out there in the mainstream to you know, start moving this ball towards where it needs to go, if you understand what I'm saying. So I posted that link in all four of the chat rooms over there in the superchat.html, and if anybody else wants to try to pass it along to the White House or the EPA or the Food and Drug Administration or the whatever, all the different agencies out there, and anybody that they think might even have a voice or whatever, congressmen, senators, you know, each other, people all over the place. Send that doggone link around. Make that link, you know, you heard the words, Patty. What do you think about those words?
Except my name is Barbara.
Oh, sorry, Barbara. I did it again. Doggone it. Yeah, so Barbara.
That's okay.
I
oh, you know, I'm just trying to get back on Wolf Spirit Radio here, so I just like saying hello to everybody out there. I found the radio site again. I just wanted to say hello to everybody. I'm trying to write in the chat there to you all. TJ, Maj, May Street 139, Scottish 7 greetings. Everybody out there on Wolf Spirit Radio, I'm just saying hello. I tried to get on, but they are, you know, not allowing me to do this and do that. Anyway, I just wanted to pop over there and say hello to everybody. So I'm sorry, Shazam, I just got sidetracked trying to figure out the ins and outs of being allowed. Being allowed on Wolf Spirit Radio on their little chat room here, because they're blocking me. Not Wolf Spirit Radio, somebody's blocking me. You know how they do. This email has been used. You can't use that email. But it is the only email that I have. Anyway, just saying. So what were you saying there, dear?
I don't even remember now.
Okie dokie then.
Oh, yeah, well, I said I'm going to post that link everywhere, and if people would send it, you know, out to everybody and his brother, it'd be really appreciated. I just want to try to get a message to the top, you know? If, you know, the people that actually have a voice, the people that actually get heard, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be us average Joes who get anything done. But the system, the way it's set up, you know, you can't just call up your senators or your congressmen without going through a chain of command, or you try.
Well, you can't get a. It's just like you. If you call up about a bill, you can't even get a person there. So, don't think that you're going to connect with your congressperson.
Yeah, and
personally,
you know, so if you actually think you're going to talk to the president of the United States, well, you know, even though he's supposed to be the guy that's out looking out for the, you know, the well-being of everybody. Doesn't mean that you're ever going to get a message to him if you have a good idea. So how are you supposed to communicate with your leadership if they ain't never available?
Well, that's a plan, isn't it?
Yeah. One time, long time ago, after listening to all the conspiracy theories and everything that was going on out there in the world, I actually tried to make a phone call to the White House, and that was when Bill Clinton was in office. And the lady that picked up the phone, I said, what's the chances I'd ever get to talk to the President of the United States? And she said, well, he's not available. And I said, well, when will he be available? And she said, well, he's not available. And I said, what you mean to tell me is there is no way in my lifetime that I could ever possibly speak to the President of these United States? And she said, he's not available. And then she hung up. I'm like, what the heck, man? You know, it could be a matter of national security. I could have an answer that could, you know, save the world or something like that. But he's not available. If he's not available now, to me or anybody else, unless you just so happen to get lucky to, you know, be in the right place at the right time or whatever. But if he ain't available to hear any possible solutions, and the world's talking about, you know, going to war again or, you know, whatever, you see the frustration there?
I do. Yeah. Well, I think we have every right to be frustrated. This has gone on for too long.
I'm just one guy, all right? But I know that there's a lot of brilliant people out there in the world that if you could mobilize that brilliance, heck, man, you could accomplish anything. We've got technology that just blows the doors off of what we used to have, that we could literally clean this planet up. I mean, and still everybody be able to make money. Nobody have to worry about starving to death. I mean, they're talking about algae being a superfood. They're talking about, that's why I had to hit that button, this button right here. Hold on, I'm going to do it again. When he said that, we're going to run out of food for 7 billion people and energy if we can't find solutions.
Who said that?
That was a podcast. All right, so if we're going to run out of food for 7 billion people and we got an answer to how to get enough food for 7 billion people, then wouldn't you think that they'd want to listen?
Well,
and I'm not talking about everybody having to sit around eating chunks of algae, because that's just ridiculous. Nobody wants to do that. But
well, you got algae as a superfood of the future.
Yeah, but see, Stephen said down in there earlier, and I have to go back and see if I can find it again. Basically, he was talking about using it for fertilizer to grow potatoes to make, sugar. What the heck? Let me see if I can find it. I want to get it exactly the way he said it. I hate it when that happens. I got to scroll all the way up there.
Well, there's a lot of information on algae as a superfood. You know, you just Google it.
He said, use it as fertilizer, grow potatoes, and make a still fuel and moonshine to sell. Laugh out loud. Well, and then I turned around and I said, well, you know, it's funny that you said that about fertilizer to grow yet even more fuel. So you take what's potentially a biofuel and you turn around and grow another type of biofuel as well as food in the process, and even some liquor for the party as far as that goes.
Right.
These people out there that keep on saying we're all going to starve to death or we're going to run out of this or run out of that, look, you may trash your environment to where you don't want to drink that water, but if you paid attention to science and you know what nature does to clean stuff up, you could do it as well. There ain't no reason why you can't learn something from nature. Nature's been trying to teach you a lesson since the day you stepped foot on the planet, period. And if you don't pay attention, well, if you don't take care of the land's not going to take care of you, plain and simple. And then you got to migrate over here and trash that land until that land over there reheals itself. And then you got to go back over there and you're wandering back and forth like some sort of knucklehead. And it's 2018 and you ain't figured it out yet?
Well, there's a couple people working on it. There's a CEO of Smart Microfarms, Robert Henriksen, his name is. He's got algae industry. He says that while we aren't yet erecting edible green skyscrapers, the tiny organisms called microalgae that would power them are about to have their heyday. Most know microalgae as a potential biofuel source, the most active field of algae research. However, it may be one of the most nutritious foods known to man. The simple green organism guided ancient cultures through famine and are now making their way into everything from animal feed to baby formula. And it's about microalgae. These are tiny photosynthetic plants. They turn energy from the sun into sugars and proteins, absorbing and converting carbon dioxide in the process and expelling oxygen. Marine microalgae, known as phytoplankton, are responsible for creating half the world's oxygen. Yeah, it's the world's first photosynthetic organisms. Millions of years of evolution have allowed them to exploit a diverse array of environments, some with extreme temperatures, UV conditions, salinity, and low nutrition levels. So, as a result, they developed into a hardy and efficient variety of organism whose bodies the scientific community is hoping to harness. So, microalgae are 20 times more productive than conventional crops. Well, this is what they're looking at.
See?
They got the spirulina tablets. Have you ever eaten spirulina?
It don't sound good to me.
Well, huh?
It don't sound good to me, the name
of
it.
No, spirulina contains more protein and iron than 20% fat ground beef.
Well, you would have probably got me if you would have, like, said this is like protein tablets, Mega Man milkshake or something like that. But when you said spirulina, it just sounded, you know, like it didn't sound good. I mean, there's something to be said about what your food looks like. And so if it's all ground up into mush and it's all green, it's like those little kids don't want to eat peas or spinach because it looks slimy and green.
You know, spirulina is a superfood, actually. It's really, like I said, it's very high in nutrients, and yep, it's green, all right.
Well, if I wasn't raised up with the taboo of thinking that everything that was green or blue was either moldy or bad or nasty tasting, then I probably might have said, yeah, spirulina, that sounds tasty. But either way, here's the thing, you know, look, we got enough energy to last for a trillion, 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 and into infinity and beyond lifetimes, and yet you can't say free energy. And it drives me nuts. You ain't never going to, because you grow this stuff faster than you can get rid of it. You know, under the...
Yeah, it's right here in your face. It's right here in our face. It's a gift from Creator, we say.
Yep.
Right?
And if used properly, you know, this entire world, you could intentionally create the instance where you grow this over here, but you could also ensure that you don't dump it down into the natural environment where you're going to cause an imbalance. So we got the capabilities of actually, you know, basically keep working in perfect harmony with nature.
Well, supposedly spirulina may literally be the single most nutritious food on the planet.
Yep.
So that's saying a lot. Right, it's saying a lot.
Well, not only is it probably really good food, but it's probably really good fuel and fertilizer and...
Yeah, I mean, I've used it, and they do have it in pill form, but I use it as a powder in, like, you know, like your drink, like your morning, what do you call it? You mix up the greens and bananas and strawberries, blueberries, and you throw some spirulina in there. It's a powerful antioxidant and anti-inflammatory.
Like a smoothie?
Like a smoothie, yeah. And it lowers the triglyceride levels, LDL, so it's like heart disease is currently the world's biggest killer, so this helps with everything. Diabetes, I mean, on and on and on. I popped the information into the chat and also in the bottom of our Skype there, so you could check it out at some point.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, you know, earlier I mentioned why I call it mad science. That's why I call it mad science, because it makes me mad. All the solutions are on the table, but you can't get the mainstream to shut the face long enough to listen to what people have to say. And it's aggravating. You know, they want to sit around and tell everybody on a daily basis how doomed we are. Oh, we're all going to die.
There you go. Well, that's the scam.
And so when you scare everybody all day long, every single day, and you can sell things to them, you know, doomsday bunkers.
Yeah. Well, sure. And also you incite people to do harm to others because they're the problem or whatever. That's the terrorizing, the war on terror isn't working. I think the war on terror was about terrorizing the people.
This says it's got 14 grams of protein and vitamin B1 and B2 and B3, thiamine, riboflavin, niacin, copper, and iron. Man.
This is in the ocean, folks. This is from and there are companies that are actually have spirulina farms I'm trying to remember the company, in a lake that is one of the purest lakes in the world. They have a spirulina farm there.
Well, let's say hypothetically you got a lake that's all jacked up because it's all toxic now. All right. Well, you could intentionally introduce duckweed to it. All right.
There you go.
Once you did that and you allowed the duckweed to do what duckweed does, it'll filter that water out. Then you can take that duckweed right off the top of that and use it for fertilizer.
Do you think that you know how nature has its way of balancing itself, right? I mean, nature does that. We know that, right?
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if what's going on in some of these water courses and these areas where they're saying this is a problem, this is an issue, where in fact it is nature's way of trying to heal herself.
Yeah. That's exactly what's going on. All these, look, it's a sign. If things don't look normal, it's a sign nature's in there trying to clean house.
And she does that because there was this, I remember this article a while back. I talked about it on one of the shows. It's been over a year, I think, that the Monsanto was all bent out of shape because one of their pesticides wasn't working any longer, because now they found what they called a super weed appearing. This was new. A new super weed appeared, so their pesticides wasn't working on it, so they were all upset. And you know what that said to me was, the mother created a super weed against the pesticide that was killing it, killing her, and she came up with a super weed. And just like she came up with some super bugs, by the way, that will not be taken out by their pesticides. But guess what they have to do then? They all put their heads together, freaking out, say, we have to come up with a new pesticide to take out this new super weed.
Yep.
This is the insanity of it. Instead of saying, wait a second, why is the earth doing this? What's going on here? She's defending herself.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. A lot of these weeds, if you understand the biology of the different types of weeds and what they will grow in and what they won't grow in, it's just like this doggone algae problem there. You know what actually causes it to do that. And so there are ways where you could actually get your garden to only grow what you want to grow in it, period.
That's right, yeah.
So,
well,
working with nature, you know, surely a tomato at some point was local to a certain area, right? I mean, nobody just invented the tomato. It just didn't come on the market. Somebody said, hey, look, I invented a tomato. Where was the first original tomato at? That's what I'd like to know.
Well, you know that there are weeds that are superfoods, you know.
Yeah.
And weeds that are superfoods. Pay attention. And guess what? Basically, they're telling you these weeds need to go.
And Thomas used to talk about a plant called kudzu, you know, that grows like wildfire, but you can use it for, you know, just like you would for hemp products. You
kudzu,
know?
Well, yeah, that's an invasive species. They call it an invasive species, and also the same thing with Japanese pokeweed.
Yep.
Japanese pokeweed, it actually is being used to combat Lyme disease and cancer.
So, with all these possible cures, they're still trying to run around and use chemotherapy and all this. They're trying to fight against nature at every single turn, and they just can't figure out why they can't get ahead enough. You know, I think as educated as these people believe that they are, they're not very bright.
Well, you know, you take the lowly dandelion weed, because that's how people look at it. The dandelion is an annoying weed. You got to kill that dandelion because you need to have that lawn look like a rug. And if you don't, your neighbors are going to raise their eyebrows at you. But dandelions are some of the most nutrient-dense greens in the world. Think of that.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking one of the most nutrients greens right outside your door. You know, it's on and on and on. Purslane is a weed, but it's very old. It's ancient. They call it a weed. I don't know if it purslane is delicious. It's a Chinese medicine and, you know, various other things. Lamb's quarter, another invasive weed. Get rid of these weeds. Kill the weeds. Why are they telling us this? Kill these weeds. But weeds, so-called weeds, these are food. These are nature. This is Creator's gift to us.
Well,
the most...
You know there's a website called eattheweeds.com?
Ah, I think I've seen that, yeah.
I'll have to Google that up and throw a deal down there. So I talk about, you know, foraging and stuff. Let me see if I can Google that real quick. Eattheweeds.com. Eattheweeds.com. Oh, man.
Well, you know, you can also make coffee in the old way days. They used chicory, the chicory root. You know, of course, chicory is a wild edible, but it makes great coffee. You know,
yeah.
I mean, that's like another thing that people can use or have used. You know, there's so many nutrients here. Dandelion, the coriander, purslane, even pigweed, you know.
All right. Well, I'm gonna post this into the chat room, and then I'll post it into Skype for you. But this is the eattheweeds.com, and you'll
okay.
be surprised at what you'll find on there. Doggone it!
I'll take a look at it.
Yeah, it'll take me a second to transfer it from one side to the next, but
I have to tell you. I was trying to look for weeds that you can make coffee with, so I Googled how to make coffee from weeds, and guess what I pulled up?
What?
What happens when you put weed in your coffee? That's like, okay, never mind. That's not what I was looking for. How to make marijuana coffee.
I posted the wrong link.
Five ways to help to use cannabis in your coffee. I didn't know you could do this. there's recipes here.
Well, it didn't surprise me because
there's things that
people like dandelions. Nobody knew you could make tea out of that stuff.
Yeah. hash coffee recipe. Wow, I didn't even know this stuff exists. Look what we came upon.
All right, I'm going to post this into Skype. I also posted another message for you in there.
I got it.
Okay. Eatgreens.com.
Yeah.
Check that out.
I will.
All right.
I'm going to say here, there's a way to, if you don't know, if you run out of coffee, which maybe we will someday, I don't know, or coffee beans are going up high, who knows, or some of the, speaking of coffee beans, you know, coffee, there is a, you can, or you should, I'm just going to say you might want to start thinking of organic coffee beans rather than the regular coffee. Maxwell House coffee and all those coffees, you know, the process of making them create a burnt, what they call a burnt substance. And I'm just talking here off my memory here because I don't have it right in front of me, but the burnt substance can often be carcinogenic. So I'm just saying, but you know, if you have chicory, which is a wild plant, and dandelion greens and so on and so forth, it's called chicory coffee, and how to make it. It's really good. I've had it, and coffee substitutes too. I'll just put that into the chat in case anybody's interested. And I guess what we're saying is there are alternatives right out your back door for foods, nutrients, and what may appear to be, you know, or what the so-called authorities or the ones who want you to buy their product to kill these weeds or whatever, that these are actually nutrients. They're foods. I always say Creator originally gave us every medicine that we would ever need, every food that we would ever need is right outside. And but the thing is that we've been taught that these are weeds or invasive species or whatever, but in nature none of that existed pretty much before the technology and the authorities started to take over. So I'm going to go to the site he's talking about. He's got this site I just pulled up here. Don't know what it's talking about here. What do you got here?
What do you mean, what do I got here?
That site you just put in was about naked wood quinberry. Is that what you wanted me to look at?
No, it's eattheweeds.com. Talk about foraging.
well, I'm on eattheweeds.com. I'm on eattheweeds.com, and it's talking about the naked wood... Naked wood twinberry.
Oh yeah, there's all kinds of different types of plants on there.
Okay, yeah, so eucalyptus. Gotcha, Simpson stopper. So several identifying characters of Simpson stopper. I don't know what that is. I never heard of it. It's an orange to red fruit.
Yeah, that's the thing. A lot of people don't realize that even on the property that you own right now. Like out here, I've got natural mint, I got blackberries, raspberries, I got hickory nuts, I got walnuts, there's wild onions, and all kinds of stuff, including dandelions, and if you, worst case scenario, couldn't, you know, get to the grocery store just knowing what you could eat on the land, you could survive.
You could, because, you know, here's this thing called carpet weed, which I think I've seen out in the forest, but I wouldn't have known this, but it's the entire plant can be cooked and eaten as a pot herb, added to vegetable soups, and so on.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of things. Of course, this is a great site. Really good site. But so this is what we're saying, is that you if you know this stuff, if you do this research, you can, in any type of situation, feed yourself and your family.
Yeah.
Because that's what the Indian people did. That's what the early people did.
Well, they got a plant archive on there, and so there's all kinds of different articles that they've done for however long. Basically, it tells you just about everything you know, from acorns, alligator weed, all kinds of stuff on there. And it tells you there's all kinds of different things for medicine or food or whatever. But that, yeah, that just reaffirms everything we've been saying about how this planet is a self-contained biosphere of epic proportions, has every single thing necessary to survive and heal. And for those people out there that keep on saying the world's overpopulated and we're going to run out of this or that, you ain't never running out of oil. No ifs, ands, or buts. It is not even remotely possible. Until this planet stops doing what this planet does, it's not possible. You're not going to run out of water. The Earth is three-quarters covered in water. Every time you drink water, where do you think it goes? It goes right back into the same system. Every time water evaporates from one area, it puts it on another area. And no matter what you do to that water, water is the most stable molecule on the planet. You can separate it, you can ignite it, and you utilize the energy from it. And what's it do? It goes out there and it recombines again. You can't even destroy it. No matter how hard you try, you can't get rid of water. So, you can boil it all away. And it'll just flash back from the steam, condensate, and cool back down, and you got water again. So, for people to say that free energy ain't free, that's because you're buying into the ridiculousness that the mainstream propagandist and the doggone indoctrination centers of the world want you to believe. They say that, that's just fresh water, stupid. You can't use up all this fresh water because nature can't make it fast enough. Well, let me ask you a question or something. If you ever did any kind of research whatsoever and you looked into Dubai, they have huge desalination plants. And not only do they sell you sea salt if you like sea salt, but they make the fresh water and they pump it up to huge skyscrapers that they built on the land that they dredged up from the ocean and are doing just fine. And there's some of the richest people in the world that live there. And that don't even scratch the surface of the ingenuity of the people around this planet that have been doing things just such as that. Plus, we on this Mad Science show, we've talked about how there are natural water filters. Natural water filters.
Right.
Duckweed is a natural water filter. In its worst case scenario, when the farmer gets too much nutrients on his land and the runoff gets over there, duckweed will get onto a pond and it will suck all the nutrients right up out of that pond. But it will also suck up all the toxins out of that pond as well. And so it will clean that water flat out, naturally. And that's just one way. I mean, there are so many different ways out there. There are so many different types of natural water filtration systems. If you study how nature does it, you can filter the water. So there ain't no reason why anyone on this planet should be drinking dirty water. It's ridiculousness. And I don't know what it's going to take, but, you know, if these people in this world don't get their act together, then all you're going to see is that when you go down to the beach in Florida, you're going to see a green muck. And then you're going to go find some place where there ain't no green muck to go swimming. And the same thing if you live in inland or whatever. If you don't get your water runoffs in check, then every single pond out there is going to be full of green duckweed and watermill and moss and algaes. And it's just going to do what nature does. In the meantime, you ain't going to have no fish there for your wildlife. And guess where your wildlife are going to go? They're going to move somewhere where you ain't because they're tired of starving. All right? They're not going to die off like that. They'll die off if they can't find a place to move and can't find no food. But right there in that mess that was created by a situation that the farmer put in play by putting all that fertilizer and chemistry in his land, anhydrous ammonia and everything else, nitrogen and whatever, well, right there in that pond is an answer to quite literally feed the same animals that can't get what they normally would have got. You see what I'm saying?
Well, I think that I'm just looking at this, thinking about the corruptness and the misinformation and the scamming and all that. It, as I said earlier, it's across the board.
Yep.
It's not just about natural energy or nature's fuel. It's about, you know, for running things or whatever, power. It's about running us, powering our bodies, yeah, our health and well-being. You know, like, for instance, just take the cancer industry, because it is an industry. It's one of the biggest industries, pretty much, I guess. Big scam, I feel, is a big scam. Now, I know people personally who have healed themselves of cancer with natural products, with natural foods, with supplements, with certain oxygen therapies, various other things that have nothing to do with killing your, or a partial or halfway or nearly killing your immune system, and you know, affecting your body so severely that if you take chemo or radiation and you're lucky, because I think it's a luck of the draw that you survive. But later on, especially now, they're doing studies and they realize this is the scientific studies that say if you have radiation, your body, you know, is basically that latent radiation is going to affect you later on.
Well, pause with that radiation for a second.
Yeah.
All right. Here recently I talked about hyperbaric oxygen therapy, wherein they use hyperbaric oxygen therapy to treat radiation burns.
There you go.
They use it to get your stem cells energized so that your stem cells get everything else energized so that you get oxygen in the plasma of your blood to places where it can heal up diabetic wounds and all these other health issues, and even get down into the bone where it can fight off cancers and stuff like that. Bacteria can't live in a highly oxygenated environment. And so by using that hyperbaric oxygen treatment, they've been doing amazing things with that.
Well, she used that. When a friend of mine used that oxygen therapy, she had lymphoma. And the first course, she had the first diagnosis. She went through the whole thing, the chemotherapy, the radiation. I mean, she nearly really died from that process. And then 4 years later, she was re-diagnosed, came back, and she determined to go natural, completely natural. And she did that hyperbaric oxygen therapy along with supplements and organic foods and juicing and so on and so forth. And she basically healed that cancer with that natural method. And many people that I know have done this.
Yeah.
Many people were told, well, we can't help you. You're going to go in 6 months. You know, why is it 6 months that they always, oh, you have 6 months to live. You know, they give you a death sentence.
Well, there's so much that oxygen therapy actually helps to cure, and there's things that I didn't even know that oxygen can do. And even hydrogen peroxide, food grade hydrogen peroxide.
Right. So there's one for you, exactly.
So people got to look into it. They got to really seriously do the research. Don't just go out there and start taking things or anything
exactly,
like that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Go out there and research it, test it, ask people about it. You know, and you know, 9 times out of 10, if you go talk to a doctor about a lot of things that we're talking about, because they're not aware of it, because that ain't what they were taught in school. Like for example, the doggone lady that I talked to that was a vascular surgeon, I asked her about hyperbaric oxygen therapy for the specific case with my father-in-law. Well, she knew about it, but they didn't really know enough about it to be able to use it. But that same type of scenario that he was going through could be beneficial for his health condition in order to get him back to healing again. even though he has diabetes, he could still heal that wound and get back to a normal good quality of life. Well, just in case, because of his age, that he wasn't, you know, a candidate for being able to get into one of those pressurized chambers with oxygen, then I looked for an outside solution, thinking I may have invented something. I found out that no, I didn't invent it, because they're using it in hospitals all over the place. And basically, it's an external version of a hyperbaric chamber that will replicate what's going on inside the chamber on the outside of the wound. Like, they got this actual boot that you can put up over, like if somebody's got a wound that won't heal on their foot or on the side of their leg, you put this boot over. It's like a plastic boot, and then when you turn the oxygen generator on, it pressurizes this boot to whatever pressure you want, and it floods that wound with oxygen, which gets down into the soft tissues and helps to heal that wound. So even the worst case scenario, and they even used it to treat gangrene wounds with.
Right.
The diabetic sores that just won't heal up, it's because they can't get enough oxygen to that wound to allow the wound to do what nature does naturally. So if you had a system like that for the leg, to heal that leg, and you had an oxygen breathing treatment where you're actually breathing in more oxygen than you normally would without it, so now you're getting oxygen into your lungs to whatever circulation you are getting, so you're doubling up on your oxygen from the inside, and you're doubling up on the outside, plus whatever antibiotics, natural or whatever, that they use. You're hitting it from three separate directions, giving that person a better chance for a complete recovery. What do you think?
Well, I know. I know of actual people who have done these things, you know, who have been diagnosed with terminal cancer, you know, and so on. But there's a whole bunch of things, you know, that we can do that are natural, like wheatgrass, parsley, grapeseed extract, ginger root, black pepper, licorice root, all these things, watercress,
cinnamon,
turmeric.
Cinnamon for regulating diabetes.
Yes, dandelion root, here you go, holy basil, maca root, it's a Peruvian herb, okay, to balance the endocrine hormones and the beneficial for breast and prostate cancer. Corella. Now here we go into the greens and what's in the oceans and the waters. Spirulina that I talked about before.
Yeah.
You know, these are lowers inflammation and helps, you know, with many other things too. Echinacea, we know about, that's a natural flower, that plant. Honey is a superfood, okay? It lowers tumor cell proliferation by arresting the cell cycle. CBD, plant compound, and we know, we've been talking about that, the endocannabinoid system, you know, it's a group of endogenous cannabinoid located in the brain already, right, in our bodies, but what it does is it supports that, nourishes that. So there's all these natural things available to us.
And so the scam is, the system don't want you educated about this kind of stuff. And it sounds like a tinfoil hat conspiracy when I say that. Because, why would your doctor want you not to get healthy? Well, maybe your doctor per se thinks your doctor is doing the right thing. But the industry itself, they don't want you to get healthy. Because as long as you're on chemotherapy drugs, which are expensive as all get out, as long as you got to go through chemotherapy, as long as you are hospitalized, as long as you're buying any kind of medicine or any kind of, you know, drugs from the drug industry or whatever, then you're making them money. Why cure the common cold when you can just treat the common cold symptoms and make everybody feel good? So, hey, yeah, my cold only lasted a week because I got this cold medicine, so I'll try that next time. You know, I'll get over it quicker. That's a hockahooey, man. Nature's got something better than that. And so with that, with the oil industry, with all the energy stuff out there, that's why I call it mad science, because it drives me completely mad that people didn't pay attention in school. And you got all these knucklehead trolls are running around trying to tell you how stupid you are because, well, you know, if that's what they were going to do, they'd already be doing it by now. There's a reason why we don't run cars on hydrogen or whatever, you know.
Well, I have to say that I think pretty much the scam is the fear-based, system. Fear-based system is the big scam, especially about cancer.
Yep.
You know, pretty much about everything. But so you have people who believe in and completely trust in the authorities, the system that we are under. Especially the medical system. I mean, you know, that's one we're just speaking about in this moment. But you have people, so you think about this, you have people diagnosed, you know, with a cancer, with an illness. And, of course, the system is set up already that if you go to a doctor with an issue, the doctor says, oh, we've got to do this test. No, the doctor says, well, the test came back and you have cancer. Now, the doctor, already you're in the system, so that doctor knows you, has all your information and everything. So if you say, well, thank you very much, doctor, but I'm going to go, wherever, I think I'm going to try parsley, you know, or whatever, or hyperbaric oxygen therapy, you're already in the system. That doctor will not allow that. I mean, this happened to a family who had their daughter was diagnosed with a brain tumor, and of course, she was having various things go on, so they took their daughter to a doctor, a medical doctor, and he did tests, of course, which they would, and the test came back and saw this big tumor in her brain, and it was, you know, quite serious. And so the next step, of course, the doctor's trained, this is what you do. Now, this is what we're going to do for you. You're in the system now, so you must go through chemo, you must go through this, and it's inoperable, so this is the only way you're going to get help, but we can't guarantee that it's going to be successful, and we can't guarantee that you're going to live. We don't know. But so you're in the system, and so of course they had to allow their doctor, or their daughter rather, to go through this chemo. And they became so alarmed because they realized that their daughter was really pretty much literally dying, that the chemo wasn't helping her, and they felt that the chemo was really probably, you know, going to be the one that's going to take her life. And they kidnapped their own daughter. They actually kidnapped their own daughter and took her somewhere out of the country or out of the state. Now the parents are... let me back up here because this is significant here. What the parents told the doctor was that they're not happy with what's going on. They feel their daughter's being... going to die from the chemo, and they said to the doctor, we want to take our daughter to an alternative, a process that we read about, and we kind of feel it might help her. Well, that doctor alerted the authorities, Child Protective Services. So now the Child Protective Service get alarmed because now the parents aren't following the rule of society, the system that's set up that they must do what the authorities say. So they took the daughter from the parents so that they could continue this chemo. Now they actually took the daughter from the parents because the parents wanted to help their child in another way that was just a bunch of hooey tinfoil wackadoodle stuff and was not part of the authorities' plan. So now the parents had to kidnap their own daughter. So now the parents became wanted. An alert went out that these parents were now on the wanted list because they kidnapped their own daughter. But what happened finally was that actually the story came that over months, I don't know how long it was, the daughter was healed by this alternative therapy. Her brain tumor was completely healed. And now that's the last that I heard about this story. I don't know what's happened since then, because were the parents arrested? Were they charged? Did the authorities actually believe that that she even had a tumor to begin with? Because that if they believed that she had a tumor to begin with, that the diagnosis was correct, that means that this alternative therapy actually worked and theirs didn't. So I'm just saying, this is where we are today. You must follow the rules. So you have people in a terrible circumstance where you sit with that doctor and that doctor says you have cancer. And you're in a state of fear. You're literally in terrified. It's terrible.
Yep.
And now for you to say, to make a determination for yourself to take care of yourself or do what you want to do or what you feel might be better for you rather than chemo to go through that system takes an enormous amount of courage. And an enormous amount of knowledge because, you know, you have to know that an alternative very possibly could save your life, but you have to have that ability to know that. You have to do that research. Then you've got your family screaming at you saying, you can't, that's a bunch of wacky stuff. You can't do that. You have to do the chemo. You're going to die if you don't. So how does a person deal with this to make their own determination, right, about how to help themselves, heal themselves, and step away from that system?
I might add money to there, but before I do, I posted a couple links in the chat room, and I also posted it in the Skype for you. One of them is eattheweeds.com. They actually have a YouTube channel, so I posted that over in the Super Chat. And also, there is a book that you might want to read. It's called The 1 Minute Cure, The Secret to Healing Virtually All Diseases. It's a PDF form that you can download. And that has to do with that hydrogen peroxide therapy stuff that I was talking about. So, like I said,
everything I
tell you about, do your research first.
Okay, listen, I just want to finish up on this because I found this. Aisha King cleared of cancer 3 years after his parents abducted him from a hospital for treatment abroad. Okay, so that's actually a different story, but it's the same story of the young girl. Okay,
yeah.
Okay, an 8-year-old cleared of cancer 3 years after his parents were jailed for abducting him from NHS hospital to seek innovative brain tumor treatment abroad. So just going to throw that into you there. Because this is a different story, not the one I was telling you. But it's pretty much the same story all around.
Well, that's the whole doggone thing. The doggone industry out there is supposed to be there for your best interest. But, you know, obviously, they think they know better than you, and they're not doing so well. So, hey, Muddy, how's it going?
Hey, Muddy.
Good morning, Dadgummit.
Dadgummit.
So,
good morning to you.
We're basically talking about the world being scammed, and it's not just in energy, but it's in everything else under the sun as far as medical and whatever. But
we've been scammed since Genesis.
Yeah, well, we've been putting in links and information to all kinds of different alternatives. You know, it all started off with that the biofuel from the algae. So, like, Florida's got this big old algae mess going on right now. And they've had it recurring every year. But the frustrating portion is we know why this actually happened. It's coming from the sugar farm down there, and it's coming from the cattle farms down there. Their runoff with super highly nutrient-rich water that is, promoting algae growth. But even a negative could be turned into a positive because you could turn that stuff into biofuel. You could turn it into natural types of fertilizer. There's so many different solutions that come out of that one problem. That if people actually knew what was going on, we wouldn't have these issues. You see what I mean?
Yep. I thought some algae are edible too. You could, they could culture it if they wanted to.
Yeah, we were talking about that. The spirulina and the chlorella and all that stuff is edible. highly nutrient.
It tastes like steak. I hear.
Ah.
You got an air conditioner running in the back?
They do it with seaweed.
Buddy?
I'm here, yeah.
So you got an air conditioner running in the back?
Yes, I do.
Oh, that's what I hear. Ah. Anyway, so basically we got an answer to the so-called energy crisis. We got answers to the so-called running out of crude oil, which we're not going to, but nonetheless, we got more than ample evidence of free energy in so many different directions. It's just too dang ludicrous to even try to keep up with. So nature has not only gave us everything we need to heal ourselves, everything we need to be comfortable, and then some, and all we had to do is try to figure out how to get along together and work in perfect harmony with nature, and we'd be just fine. We don't even have to give up our luxuries. We can still keep our computers and the lights on and the air conditioning and all that. But if you know that you're creating a havoc such as all this, doggone algae blooms getting out of control, then you ought to know that there's also a solution for it as well. You know, what do you think?
I don't know the solution.
You don't know the solution. Turn that into a money making business. There are people out there.
I know they can turn it into oil.
Yeah.
Yes.
You can turn it into oil. You can turn it into fertilizer. You can turn it into food for cattle. You can turn it into fish food. They even call it a superfood because of how high proteins is now. Obviously, you know, the toxic versions of the algae will be different, but you could still use them for other products and still use it for fertilizer, you know. And what is it, the reason why it's toxic to begin with? Is it sucking up, chemicals that are like pesticides and stuff? Is that what's actually causing the toxicity in the algae itself or what? See, those are things that need to be researched, but... As far as I'm concerned, if you already thought about it, somebody else has already researched it. That's how much information we've got all over this place. Well, don't everybody jump the microphone at once. You might chip a tooth.
I ain't got no chip.
What you think about Barbara? Uh-oh, her microphone must be muted. Hello! Alright, well, till she comes back, she might have went and get
the
some coffee.
The Bluetooth device is like the better. The Bluetooth device is connected successfully.
So what have you been up to, Muddy? Any new
questions? Just working, trying to keep the blood pressure down, get it down enough so I can get this, get the damn work I need done to save my life, I guess. If I can get the teeth out and the roots out, and I won't have poor abscesses, and all that stuff won't be attacking the rest of my body, and I won't get dizzy spells and more high blood pressure. But my blood pressure's got to go down first before they can do the damn work.
Oh.
I'm doing it.
Yeah, well, I hope you get that resolved soon, man. That could be a bad deal. Can you turn your volume down just a hair, Muddy?
I'm turning it down
so people can understand you. Anyway.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but she sounded good that time around. Anyway, that's just overdriving the speaker, that's all. So, with alternative energy... you could make biofuels with that stuff. You could make fertilizers and all that. And that's why I say all these industries out here, they're either flat out irresponsible or they just didn't pay attention in science class. I don't know what else to say. That's sad. Got any thoughts, Barbara?
Well, I'm just thinking, I know you keep asking that question, but I think that they know. I think they know, and I think that's a scam, you know, to the word scam. I think we're all being scammed. I think on every level, it's like, talk about the education system. Talk about the health system. Talk about the food system. Talk about everything. The political system, religious system, education system, financial system. It's all been manipulated and controlled by a certain group of people who are basically working for themselves, who don't really care. So I think the big scam is the whole mess. Everything that we are under the authority of, you know. So again, it's like you come up with these solutions, and I've come up with some solutions here, talking about things, and others come up with solutions. We always give solutions.
Yeah.
But the authorities don't want those solutions. We are the nutcases.
Well,
we're the conspiracy nutcases, but we have solutions that are factual, real.
There's a PDF that I posted in there, and everybody was at to read it and do their own research, but it has to do with that hydrogen peroxide therapy, and they're talking about like food grade hydrogen peroxide. And
yeah.
You know, you got to be really responsible for it, but the way that basically it's talking about is that if you understand what hydrogen peroxide does, and if you understand that you got to use like distilled water with it, the book basically take you to it. But either way, it's all about getting oxygen into your blood. All right. Well, this is something they probably should have taught in science or medical industry or whatever. But for whatever reason, they don't teach that kind of stuff. They don't teach kids in school about what to eat and what not to eat. If you're out there, you get trapped out in the woods somewhere and you're hungry, you know, what berries you can eat and which ones you can, or stuff like that. Those, I think, would be beneficial things to teach in school. And as far as alternative energy, instead of sitting around telling all these kids that the planet's dying and we're all going to die and all this kind of stuff, talk about the solutions and get them involved. And, you know, this is what the science says about this and how this is caused. And so can you think of a way to, help to solve this problem? Well, the first part about the algae issue would be to get the farmers to understand that their runoff is what's actually creating it to begin with, by making the water too nutrient rich. So if they basically built a moat around there, every one of these farms, and guided that water to wherever they wanted it to go, into a place where they wanted it to be able to intentionally grow algae. And when they intentionally grow that algae, then they intentionally harvest it and they use it for whatever benefits, whether it be biofuel or whatever. And so that farmer's not only making money growing food, but he's also making money growing fuel as well, or maybe he just takes the fuel that he generates from, you know, growing the algae and turning it into biofuel to run his tractors. It's a no-brainer. You know what I mean? And the sun is the only fuel that you need for the algae to grow outside of the nutrients in the water. So if the sun's out, it's growing it. There you go, man.
Well, let's talk about that hydrogen peroxide, because, you know, we use that. And it's interesting about hydrogen peroxide, because I didn't realize this, but people in Canada, it's against the law. You can't use hydrogen peroxide. You can't even buy hydrogen peroxide up there.
Well, that's crazy.
So you have to say why. Well, it's H2O2.
Yeah.
You know?
It's got an extra oxygen on it.
That's right.
And that extra oxygen will bind to impurities. So you don't want to mix it with regular water, like say it's got chlorine or fluoride in it, because it'll bind to that. But the whole concept, to put it simple, was to use this in small quantities and actually add a little bit of extra oxygen into your food. So there's a Raymond was talking last time we were on. He was talking about a food supplement that basically does the same exact thing. It's already on the market, and you know, once again, everybody has.
What is that?
I don't remember. He said he was going to send me a bottle of it.
Okay.
But basically, it's to oxygenate your water so that.
Okay, right.
But here's the thing. If you understand the chemistry of your body and how it functions, oxygen is the part that gets everything in there moving to get all your stem cells going and get them energized and get them going down there doing some work and adding extra blood flow or extra oxygen to the plasma, which is the liquid that the blood cells go around in. It promotes new growth. And when it finally absorbs into the soft tissues of the body, then it promotes new, fresh cell growth so that your body will heal itself. That's how it works. But you don't hear this in the mainstream, Dr. Dill. They'll throw some antibiotics on there, or some sort of salve or cream or whatever, you know, or give you radiation therapy, everything but what nature would have done naturally. That's the whole issue right there.
Well, you have a if you follow this protocol, these are some of the things, the health ailments that this protocol of hydrogen peroxide, but it's actually 35% food grade hydrogen peroxide. That you have to make sure you have. Allergies, headaches, herpes, Alzheimer's, anemia, HIV, arrhythmia, influenza, bacterial infections, liver cirrhosis, bronchitis, lupus, cancers, multiple sclerosis, candida, cardiovascular disease, Parkinson's, cerebral vascular disease, periodontal, chronic pain, well, all this stuff, diabetes type 2, rheumatoid arthritis, gangrene, shingles, goes down the list, food allergies, warts, fungal infections, yeast infections, gingivitis. Why? Because what this is doing is it's functioning with the natural oxygen. It's oxygen-based composition. What it does is it stimulates the movement of oxygen atoms from your own bloodstream to the cells in a very effective and efficient way. So the illnesses and sicknesses is often about this inability of the cells to to move that oxygen, the natural oxygen, right?
Yeah.
So we're talking, the diseases mostly are caused by insufficient levels of oxygen in the body.
Yep.
So when you increase the levels of oxygen, many different ailments can in effect be knocked out. So oxygen can only address diseases if it can be delivered directly to the body, tissues, and cells, and that's that hyperbaric oxygen therapy that we were talking about, where it is delivered directly, right, to the body's tissues and cells.
Well, it said, part of this in this PDF, there's a part that says, since 1950s to the present, hyperbaric oxygen therapy has helped heal and restore function for people with various neurological disorders and injuries, and partial list of which follows: Alzheimer's, Parkinson's disease, diabetes, stroke, multiple sclerosis, Lou Gehrig's disease, brain injury, learning disabilities, cerebral palsy, chronic fatigue syndrome, and autism.
Right.
So, here you got something that has the potential to do all that. Why isn't this something that is mainstream? Now, don't get me wrong. You can go out there and you can find these places. But the prices of each of these treatments is anywhere from $150 to $250 per treatment. That could be anywhere from 30 minutes to 3 hours. And so, you know, you got something that like this that you could that could actually benefit people and heal them up instead of all these terrifying things they got to go through just to go through radiation therapy and so on. But instead, they'd rather take your money and, make you go through all that crazy stuff. And Also, you can buy one of these home units. They're anywhere from $3,000 up to $20,000 or whatever. But nonetheless, most folks don't even know it's even an option when they go to the doctor. They have no idea because the doctors ain't telling people this stuff, which they should. They should say they should put every single possible option, including alternative medicines. Look, we can't say you can do this, but these are what we've read. This is the list of everything we've found relating to your particular condition, and so, you know, this is what we got on the table for you. You see what I mean? That's why it's frustrating, because if you don't know that there's a possibility that something like, hyperbaric oxygen therapy, or even external oxygen therapy, or even internal oxygen using some sort of food grade hydrogen peroxide. If what this person wrote this book is true, that would help a whole lot of people if they only had that knowledge. And that's the whole deal right there.
Well, then you have to question, why in Canada is it illegal?
Well, maybe they want to make money with their medical system. I don't know. It don't make no sense to me.
That's everything right there. So that's why they, instead of treating cancer with either cannabis or with baking soda, which turns acidic chemical balance into an alkali balance. Disease cannot live in an alkali environment, and it cannot live in an oxygen-rich environment. And if you combine the two, that'd be good too. But no, if you're a cancer, they want to put radiation and chemotherapy into you, and they're trying to fight it with poisons that kills you and the disease, and it's kind of like a game to see which one is going to win, you or the disease. It just feeds it up.
Well,
same thing with AIDS. The medicine that they give for AIDS, like $2,000 a month for the prescription. Now, you're here in the United States, but you go over here across the border in Mexico, and they're 50 cents a pill.
Yep.
That's out of the nation that it's being made in. And number two, it ain't nothing but a cocktail of poisons, which do the same thing. Let's see who's gonna win, the disease or the patient. And if you remember the old Daffy Duck cartoons, he had a bulletproof vest, and he was trying to sell, and he says, "Guaranteed to work or double your money back." And it's pretty much the same thing. Dead people don't sue. So let's soak up all their money first. The murder. You know, they say any crime, you have to figure out who is the person that gains the most, and that's the criminal.
Well, that's where we're at. That's exactly why we're where we're at. These folks, they make a lot of money off of being people sick. They ship them in, they ship them out. The drug stores, all these industries out there, they don't care about anybody's health, because so what if they make you sick? They can sell you the medicine to treat it, whatever, you know. And so it's all pure ridiculous to me, and that's why I get frustrated. I like that I read that letter out to the President of the United States. You know, he'll never get that letter, not at this rate. But if everybody copied that link or whatever, or copied the letter that I wrote and thousands of emails sent with the same message on there, maybe we could get somebody at the top to pay attention to those folks at the bottom. But maybe, again, maybe it's all just a show. Maybe they don't want us to fix things. Maybe they like it just the way it is.
That's well, from what I hear, he's a Twitter junkie.
Well,
go to Twitter.
Post it on Twitter.
That's right. Get everybody to post it on Twitter.
I'll try it. I'll do it right now. Copy. Huh. By the way, folks, I do have a Twitter link on there. I got a Facebook link on there. So if you want to join me on Twitter or Facebook to help support this and all that, well, that's where it's at. Okay, I'm going to say letter to somebody talk. I'm typing.
I was just thinking of how people I know who have acid reflux issues, right? Now this baking soda here will eliminate that acid reflux. But what a person does if they have heartburn or acid reflux is they go and they get a drug, you know, a medicine from the pharmaceutical. And then that may cover up the issue or may, you know, make them feel a little bit better, but it doesn't eliminate the original problem and also may have side effects. So I'm just looking at the natural things.
That sounds good by theory. It all sounds good by theory, but my experience and friends that I've helped, basically, I remember a guy used to have his chocolate milk every day, and doggone, man, he was taking baking soda and all that stuff, and I said, you know what, you trained your stomach to make acids, to fight all that doggone, the baking soda you're throwing in, and then you're covering it with milk, and milk basically will sit there and, chocolate milk will cause your acid reflux. I told him what to do, and he didn't want to do it at first, but his girlfriend said, yeah, come on, try it. Well, I gave him a shot of apple cider vinegar.
He chopped his stomach into making bases.
And he didn't have acid reflux for well over a month. Just one shot of apple cider vinegar, it shocked his stomach into making bases.
Yes, apple cider vinegar is an old, old folk remedy, and it works for a number of things. It's amazing.
Yep. Even the white vinegar would have shocked it into making.
Well, but it's too simple for people.
Apple cider vinegar has got all your vitamins.
Yeah.
Mostly all of your trace minerals and antioxidants. Well, you can't beat it.
Well, you're talking about the organic apple cider vinegar with the mother in it. That's the one that you want, not one in your from your grocery store that's been corrupted, actually. Right?
Right. And the cool thing about the apple cider vinegar also is that not only does it do all your vitamins and everything, but I lost what I was going to say on it. I hate it when that happens.
Well, I'll tell you something.
The apple cider vinegar, it dissolves all the fat and cholesterol in your body and lets you push it out.
Well, I had this old book, this old folk medicine book, and one of the remedies, or the remedy in the 1800s for gout was apple cider vinegar.
Well, there you go. Look, folks, I tweeted it out to President Trump there. I didn't actually tweet it to him, but I actually tweeted it on my Twitter page. So if you happen to be on Twitter, maybe you could retweet it and actually follow Trump on my deal. I'm going to have to see if I can find that and tweet it straight to him. But anyway, if you can retweet that or copy that message and put it on your Facebook or whatever, I'd like to try to send that thing out there to enough people that read it. Maybe we can get somebody to pay attention to all these things we've been talking about on this show for a long time. You know, we got all kinds of solutions to every... I honestly believe that we have every single answer to every single question ever asked on this world. I believe we got every single solution to every single problem on this world. You know, mad science is about not that I'm crazy, as we talked about earlier. It's about, I'm mad. I'm mad because we're seeing all this. I hear myself echoing in the background.
What's going on there? Got some echo or repeater happening.
I think that's muddy.
Oh.
Anyway, I'm mad because I paid attention in science class. We got all the solutions necessary to resolve the so-called problems of the world, and yet here we are today. We're still having all these problems. Florida's got green goo going all over their beaches, and they're frustrated, and they can't get anybody to fix it, and they talk about, well, we got to get some money, and we got to try to buy up some land and all this kind of stuff, when all they had to do was ask some guys and gals out here that had been paying attention and doing all this research. We could point them right at the right ideas, the right solutions, and chances are they probably already know it. But for whatever reason, they don't utilize it. You know? And how are we going to fix this world if everybody keeps ignoring the possible solutions? You got any ideas?
Well, I got one idea, is to mute when you're not talking.
Yeah, Muddy, you're like echoing me back.
Yeah, I think you're got your or the something's happening there. But well, I could say that the original people, because they were tuned into nature, I would say more in relationship to nature, that they understood many things about how to hold things in harmony and balance. And actually, that was part of the original instructions that all ancient people had received, how to live in harmony and balance and to be the stewards of the earth. Now, all that went out the window, I guess. So over time, and that's a story in itself, which I won't get into, but now you have people today like yourself, Shaziz, and other people, who are still holding that connection and that awareness and that consciousness regarding nature and how nature will automatically, if left alone, balance itself. But because we are, you know, I guess humanity's interfering and thinking they need a better tomato or whatever, I don't know, a shield above the sky filled with aluminum, barium aluminum, because there's global warming or all kinds of wacky doodle. Those are the mad scientists, okay? But you have people like yourself who's just angry. You're just mad.
Yeah.
You have an awareness and a connectedness, and a lot of people do, on how to resolve things, solutions. We always give solutions. There are so many solutions, you just have to want to look for them, and they are there. That's the key right there. You have to want to look for them. In nature's way, the original way of balancing things, or maybe letting something be, letting the rivers take their flow and their course, because that's the healthy river then, instead of damming it up, blocking it up, or letting runoff of farms and pesticides, golf courses and all this stuff, and then you have a problem that you then try to fix and you make it worse. That's not a solution. So, I think the solutions are about listening, about communication with persons like yourself, like you're saying you'd wish somebody to come and sit and talk with you. I know that the elders often say if they had come and talked to us, we would have told them or showed them or guided them, you know, in certain ways. Yeah. And this doesn't happen because these people, either they really don't care, and I'm kind of like moving in that direction, or they're too arrogant, or like those scientists around the CERN hydrogen, whatever the heck it is, hydrocollider there, said we're going to be gods. That's the kind of mindset these people have, some of them. They're not going to listen to nature. They're not going to listen to those who may be closer or connected or deeply connected to the harmony and balance and the natural sustainability of the earth. They want to blow up things. They want to dam up things. They want to create a better tomato. They want to mess with genes. They want to mess, whatever it is, nature, they want to mess with it. They're not interested in listening or sitting down with people who may have that wisdom. And they just keep messing things up. So I think I could say back to the connectedness to nature, back to that real connectedness, not the conquering or the ownership of or the changing of or the destruction of, but to be with and listen to and to be still and to pay attention to what we are really receiving from nature. That's what I'd say is a solution.
Well, yeah, the problem just getting them to listen, that's the biggest deal. I mean, at some point, it's only one of two things. If you do something, you're either doing it intentionally or you just don't care. You know, whatever, you know. But if there's possible solutions out there, it looks like Raymond's trying to get in here. Somebody want to add him? If there's possible solutions out there and you're not even looking at them at all, then I feel that's an issue right there. Ugh, my brain is about to fall out.
Well, I'm with you. I just don't, I guess what I'm saying is I don't get I don't drop off the cliff on this. I think that people are awakening up. I think that people are beginning to, you know, realize certain things that are very important. And either we're going to go into the deepest, darkest place where the people will have to sit up together, stand up together, and come together for solutions to be, you know, in that state of, you know, working together for survival. Stop listening to the authorities.
Well, you just hit the key of what I was hoping to finally get to, is that, you know, we can't see, like, I'm sitting here trying to get, I did tweet to the president, by the way, whether I'll get a response, that's another thing, because, you know, unless you're saying something controversial, whatever, I don't know. But anyway, trying to get a letter to somebody who's up there in the leadership that's actually going to pay attention to you is like pulling teeth. It's almost impossible, especially if you ain't got the tools to do it. But the average Joe, we can talk to each other. We're doing it right now. We're talking clear across the world to all different types of people, and we can enact these solutions on an individual basis. And even gather up in groups and enact them on a little bit larger basis, being able to grow and teach each other, you know, how to do biofuels and stuff like that, and, you know, like that website, eattheweeds.com. How many people knew that was around? I heard about it through another alternative researcher out there. And no, I'm not an affiliate of anybody trying to sell anything. I'm just saying, if I see something that seems scientifically plausible, like, you know, hyperbaric oxygen treatments for, you know, all kinds of ailments, and even hydrogen peroxide, you know, food grade version. And there's so many different things. There's even things you can use, like hydrogen peroxide, to kill mold and mildews and stuff like that.
Well, fungus,
yeah,
on your
fungus body.
Well, I just want to say, because I'm going to have to leave shortly, I just want to say that, for instance, what I said about we may be coming to a point in time where we have to find solutions, because there's not going to be anybody wackadoodle out there saying this is how you do it. You know, the authorities are going to, we're going to be in such a position, a state of affairs, a circumstance where we're going to have to come together. If, for instance, you take a little village out there in Africa, right, where the women have to walk for miles and miles just to get water. There is no water available, right, because they're in drought. So now you have a young man, I don't know, a teenager, a young boy in this village who came up with a brilliant idea of how to make a pump for the water that is underneath the ground there that they couldn't even get to out of a bicycle parts, right?
Yeah.
So you have that solution. This young person did that because they were in such a state, a dire state, that is so necessary for the matter of life and death.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's what I'm talking about, where a young person comes up with a solution and brings the water up from the ground for the people with some bicycle parts. I don't know fully how he did it, but there's a video on it. So you have these kinds of circumstances where people, a matter of life and death, where people must come together to bring the solutions for themselves, because there aren't anybody on the top or the authorities, or nobody really cares, and they're not interested, or they even can't in those circumstances because they're just not available. So the people, that's what I'm saying, is this where we're going to go? Is are we going to be coming to a point in our time, in humanity's time, where there, you know, the resources or whatever we once depended on, even though it's getting corrupted and creating illnesses, is no longer available, where we will have to come together. We will have to sit down together in unity, and we will have to come up with different ideas and create things together in order for, you know, life, a matter of life and death. And like I said earlier as I started this show, people are focused on and think the most important thing is are how many lies a president says during the day, the percentages. They're, you know, screaming about this. That's not important. We're talking about life here, life and death. We're talking about clean water. We're talking about clean medicines, pure medicines, life. We're talking about the most important things, the air quality, the food, what's going to happen, what are we leaving for our coming generations. If we don't fix these, come together with these solutions now, where are we headed? Because it's obvious to us that there is an agenda that is setting things up so that they really don't care. They are poisoning the water. They are poisoning the air and GMOing all the seeds and so on in the medical profession. And we, you know, we could just go on and on and on. And we all just sitting there like, okay, they're in charge. They're telling us what to do. Somebody's in charge telling me what to do. I feel better now. But you don't really feel better. So I'm just saying, is this where we're headed? I do believe so. And it's going to, in a time, we're all going to have to come together in unity and focus on the real issues, the serious stuff, because it's about life and death. And it won't matter who's president.
Nope. And that's why I've been trying to tell everybody as long as I've been doing this radio show and the Mad Science Show on, you know, Saturdays and the Knights of the Round Table on Sundays, is that while you have access to the internet, download every single bit of information you can get your hands on. I mean, for every subject under the sun, put it on hard copy, put it on floppy drives or whatever you got, and store that information so that one day, if they decide to yank this internet out from underneath the people, say you can no longer talk to each other like the way we do, yet you already got copies of the podcast and you already got copies of all the different websites and stuff like that. That's the only way you're going to preserve this information for you. At some point in time, there are already places in this world where certain websites are illegal. You can't go to them. Now, I didn't even know hydrogen peroxide, you couldn't use it in Canada. I didn't know that. But there's got to be a reason why. Find out what that reason is. Do all the research. Download it onto floppy drives or thumb drives or CDs or DVDs or whatever. Print it out. Make sure that you, the people, maintain as much information as you possibly can. It's as simple as that. Otherwise, it's just wait around for, you know, the government say it's okay or not, whatever. If you find there's a problem in your local stream, you can use whatever you learned on there to fix it. And that's what we're talking about here. Bring people to the table. Spread the message out there to other people out there and let them know that there are solutions available to solve all these problems. They said that there's a $10 million deal offered up if you can solve that problem in Florida with the algae. I say we get a bunch of brilliant minds and we go down there and solve it for them, and we have $10 million to do more research and benefit the rest of the world. I got a brother that lives in Florida. Maybe I can make a trip down there and assess the situation with my own two eyes and give them some ideas. Who knows? It might be the one that gets the $10 million, and then we can focus that money into research for even more beneficial, trying to help the world out. It's what it's all about to begin with. This radio show ain't for fame or fortune or glory or anything like that, or even finance for that matter. If it is, I failed miserably because I'm not famous and I'm not rich, and that's about that. So, folks, you've been listening to the Mad Science Show. Stay tuned for the Knights of the Round Table tomorrow, and if everything goes well and we don't have any more family emergencies, I'll make it here. So if not, I'll leave you a message and let you know what's what. Anyway, peace and love, everybody. Thanks, Barbara. Thanks, Muddy. Everybody have a good one.
Love you guys.
That stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ass.
Ooh,
one ass.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ass.
Yeah, boss, they're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant. Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch.